Hey Omega, so you ready for Mass Effect?
Why not?
What the f*** is going on down there?
Hi everyone, it's Evangelist here with your WTF at TFWs. How you doing? I am joined today by Aaron.
Yes, yes. Again, pulling me away from Mass Effect 3.
Hey, I'm pulling me away from Mass Effect 3, all right?
Yeah, you finally bit into it. Now you're just saying, what are we doing with this podcast crap?
Hang on. Finally bit into it.
Into 3.
I pre-ordered it, 3 days before release. It just didn't get to me till the day after release. That's all.
So when you pre-ordered it, I already had the encrypted on my hard drive waiting for Origin to say it's okay to play.
Well, you see, I bought it on an Xbox 360 like a proper gentleman, not this blasphemous Origin EA crap that is
it is kind of suck. But
it is totally like violating the childhood of my Wing Commander memories, and it's not cool.
But you see, at 12:01, I was playing Mass Effect 3.
Oh, well, look at you. Aren't you a fancy pants? I want to import my saves. My saves are on the 360.
Yeah, that's why I'm playing on the PC.
Yeah, exactly. Also here today is Omegas Prime.
I have felt very left out of the conversations before this recording.
And it's your own damn fault.
What are you possibly talking about? You should really play Mass Effect 1.
You should.
Like, we're not trying to peer pressure you or anything.
Do you have a Steam account? Because I bet someone will gift it to you if you have a Steam account.
I don't even have time to play the games I actually own.
Well, then forget about them and get Mass Effect, because it's better.
Yes.
You're not helping.
Nope.
Yes, he is helping.
I'm not even trying to help. I want more people playing Mass Effect. Actually, this is what I was saying back when Mass Effect 2 came out. Nowadays, I don't think more people need to play Mass Effect because a whole bunch of them already are. So it's hit its mainstream. Doesn't need the help anymore. However, we're here to talk about Transformers. We'll be talking about Mass Effect later on. And to kick things off this evening, I'm scrolling to the topic list so I can tell you all that Hasbro Communication has released a statement about the credit card security issue of the previous couple of weeks. This is going to be very brief because how many times have we talked about this and we have literally nothing else to say as far as I can tell.
Well, have my news. 2 credit cards out of 2 got hit within 3 days.
Omedeto! Congratulations, as they say in Japan.
Yep.
Well,
I was on the $9 I had in my wallet for 3 days.
My buddy Phil Reed, who runs BattleGrip.com, had 5 credit cards get hit because he went through 5 credit cards trying to order Overrun, and then they all got hit. So Hasbro PR has sent out an email basically saying, like, hey, FunPub told us it's not too bad, but if you have troubles, talk to them. This is from Joe Moscone? It depends on his ethnicity, I suppose, how to pronounce that final name. But they basically said, hey, this sucks, and FunPub says it's not going too bad, and they're doing a whole lot of work, so talk to them, which I think is pretty much what I would have expected out of Hasbro, because it kind of isn't their direct problem. It is FunPub's problem.
Yeah.
And I am glad that they did release a statement, however, because it is good to say something when one of your licensees has unfortunately had quite a mess up.
Yeah.
So I saw people kind of getting like, oh, I can't believe Hasbro is not taking a more active role. The last thing Hasbro needs to do as a massive publicly traded company is take an active role in a credit card security issue.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen unless they caused it directly. Guess what? That's hopefully going to be the final chapter of this truly unfortunate couple of weeks. Aside from more people who did not catch wind of this going, hey, what's up with my credit card? Again, if you haven't been checking your credit card statements and you've ever used a credit card with the Transformers Collectors Club or BotCon, do keep an eye on your statements. if not preemptively just cut the card out and get a new one.
Yeah. And what I ended up going through actually and changing about every website's username and password. And one thing I can't remember if you guys mentioned it.
There was that too. That's right. There was that
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I can't remember if you guys mentioned it last time or not, but PayPal actually has an option for multi-step authentication.
Yep. My bank does
that.
That
is a good thing to set up so that if whenever now I go to use my PayPal, it pops up, hey, we're going to send you a 6-digit number. And then my phone, I'll get a text message, and then I plug that number back in, guaranteeing that in order to use something like my PayPal, I would have to also have my phone. Yeah. So if you can get 2-factor authentication on things, go ahead and do that as well. A little bit of a pain in the butt, but it definitely locks this out from happening.
And that's the small silver lining of this whole thing is at least now we've all been shaken and maybe we're all more aware of our online. I mean, I'm not trying to say that that's excusing that any of this happened. Absolutely not. But you got to try to find the small silver lining. And hey, if this has gotten, I mean, I am a lazy person and this has gotten me shaken up going like I should really keep better track of my logins, my passwords and all my information.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that I did after all that since. With both of the cards that got hit, I basically had to make new username and passwords for both of them. I got a password management program that is locks on my phone and is encrypted 2 different ways and generated a 12-digit gibberish ID and password. That way it's doubly secure. No two are going to be the same. And all I have to do is remember a 4-digit number and a password to get those back. So do what you got to do to keep it safe.
Go ahead.
I said I will take the hit. I know a lot of people were giving me grief on Twitter, GOG included. Love you, GOG. About having not done anything at this point. And I'll admit it, I was trying to skate and hope that I wasn't going to get hit. And I had decided that the weekend that I did get hit was when I was going to just go through and deal with it and have air quotes accidentally lost my card in the bar. And hopefully that would get me a new one issued without having to pay for a new one. But hey, instead I had fraud do it for me. So
boom.
So I didn't have to pay for a new card, but I did have to wait the time period to get stuff back. So still don't think you're going to skate. Internationals have been getting hit. Anybody and everybody that's used their stuff's been there. I know it sounds like dogpiling. I know this is airing up on his soapbox, but at this point, it's obvious what's going on.
Well, no, I mean,
let me take you off that self-aggro
a little bit. I mean, like as someone who has gone hell of off the rocker at FunPub several times, at this point, having been hit with 2 cards, I think it feels like you've hit a somewhat sobering level of like, well, what else is going to happen if I, you know, like going off what we said last episode about professional wording, being rational and not getting more done. This whole thing, I think I've seen a couple, like there are people who are still like, you know, we're going to go and burn down their warehouses and whatnot. But like, there's a lot of folks I think who have also been seeing like, wow, if I get mad at them, that's not going to change the fact that I went through credit card fraud.
Yeah.
I'm just going to not do business with them anymore is what I've seen a lot of people say.
And that's a statement that I made and I'm definitely going to hold to. I really want to see that anything that they do in the future is a huge step up from what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
It sucks because I really like doing, you know, getting the free toy, getting the add-on toys. But if it's, you know, everybody's hyperbolized statement of, well, if ever you're going to do anything with FunPub, get yourself a prepaid card to do it with or a one-use thing to do it with because it's not secure. And if it looks like that's what's got to be done, I just may not even deal with it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sit back and see what they do. I'm going to see what they say as far as up security and whatnot by the time their next major venue comes, which this is what I was going to say. It was a funny follow-up to this. Signal Lancer on Twitter was kind of having a laugh at our previous BotCon prep where I believe I said, quote, the safest place to use your credit card at BotCon is the FunPub Collectors Club table. Little did I know.
Well, at least I think for this instance, it wouldn't have been because they all had point of sale things, like what small businesses generally use, which is what I would have thought they did before, where it's a direct link to a credit card deal and swipe it and go. So, and again, it all comes down to how they were actually compromised. Before, I thought it might have been their handler, but with the username password stuff getting out
that feels like a personal data center of theirs might have been mined. And then this unfortunately does call in the whole thing of why would credit card numbers be there? But that's also a discussion that I am not educated enough to engage in outside.
And the rough thing is there have been people very direct, and Pete has replied very directly that it's an ongoing investigation, so he can't comment on it.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing he could say.
That's all he can say, because there's no answer that's good for that.
Yeah, and he's also, at the end of the day, he is a business major who is running a PR thing, among other things. Yeah. He is also the PR for that company, and there is only so much he can say before he ends up compromising his position.
Yeah,
what he is trying to get across, and that's just going to make stuff worse. I think that leaving it at internal investigation is the safest thing that they could do at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, the apologetic tone has had, it came through in the emails. I was really glad to see that. The emails went faster. I was glad to see that. I mean, glad to see that not in an all is forgiven kind of way, but glad to see that in a, hey, look, it's improving from 4 weeks ago. that's all going down. So we have a Hasbro word on it. That's hopefully going to be the last word we get on it, because the only other thing to be said would be from FunPub's end. And as much as I would like them to, or as much as I'd like to hear what happened, I think it would only cripple them as a business to start openly sharing the details of a mass security leak. So even though I I'm not going to say you shouldn't hear about it, and I'm not going to say you're wrong for wanting to know what happened, looking at it from an outside perspective, I can entirely see the best outcome being that they stop talking about it, they solve the problem internally, and they make a lot of noise about their improved security when they improve it, which I really hope they do. And I really hope that their improved security is not only a brand new message board, because that's not improved security.
Right.
That's an improved message board. Omegas, were you at risk at all this, or did you come out clean so far?
Coming out clean, I've changed my PayPal password just in case, because the only transaction I ever had with the club was 2 years ago signing up for BotCon, which I know doesn't make me safe. What makes me safe is the fact that my card has changed since then.
Yeah, so basically, outside of that, you have changed your card, not for the deal, but it has happened.
Yeah, it just happened to happen.
So yeah, I've seen people on Twitter and on the board, forums both, you don't have to go and change out the card that you've never used with them. That's not something, at least now, that seems at risk. If that's at risk, we got a whole different matrix level.
We got telepath
brainjacking going on. Yeah.
Telepath criminals stealing our identities.
But, it sucks, and it's a pain in the butt. And if it's something like one of my cards was your debit card, which links into everything, then it's a pain in the butt having to go and change all your utilities to tag to a different card.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier. I am really
glad.
That's
why I lagged on it.
I'm really glad in Canada that we don't have that kind of setup, at least as far as I know. Like, if my credit card gets compromised, my debit is untouched.
Yeah.
It's only the credit card side of things. Because Seth was able to go to a physical bank, but basically being locked out of the 21st century easiest and most common forms of withdrawing cash funds to pay for goods and services for a couple of days. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, I did end up getting an ATM card on day 3.
That's good.
But that was, it was weekend. Hey, fun. Nobody's around that can do that. Then you got Sunday. And then it was I talked to the teller, and then the teller was new. So I had to talk to a manager because nobody knew how to make a new ATM card. It's not even a debit card.
Nobody knew how to function meeting customers face to face.
Yeah. Well, no, it was because it's an oddball thing asking for an ATM card, not a debit card.
Yeah.
Because a debit card you can use like a credit card. I had to go get an ATM card, which you can only use at an ATM machine if it's one of the machines in the network. So it, drastically limited it. But then I was able to get money out to to pay for gas and stuff like that. But
before I end up having talked out of my butt about things I don't know, maybe I should restate. I don't know if it's all of Canada. At least my bank account I have with my bank, its credit card that I got a couple years ago, does not involve a debit connection.
Okay.
That's where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I could set the Fifth Third Bank has a duo option that is something similar, I think. But
yeah,
it's just something I never really thought about because it's easier to not put it on a credit card and then have to worry about paying for that. If I pay it out of the checking, it's paid for.
Yeah.
And it's paid.
So,
but
moral of the story, be careful online. Even though the internet has existed for a lot longer than it used to have existed, it is still a dangerous place for your personal information to be floating around. So just take care of it. And even if you don't take care of it, check it every now and then and make sure things are not happening under your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on from there into some happier FunPub news, because we have some BotCon updates that do not involve delays or broken toys or credit cards. We have comic pages and guests. Isn't that fun? Let's have a woo. Let's have a wave. Whoa! That's my wave. So we've got the next two pages of the prequel comic book with, I believe, still some glorious Josh Perez colorage. And we have some honorifics getting dropped. We also get a name for the human dude in the suit. Are they called Runts?
Yeah, I think so. The copy I'm seeing is scaled down.
Armored Robot Hunters. We also get Metalhawk showing up and dropping an Okimi suffix on Gigatron, which I saw Protoman flipping out about on Twitter. Apparently it means it's a deferential term of some kind, as I understand it. I don't actually know Okimi that well, but I guess Metalhawk is super Japanese.
Yay.
Not only is he super Japanese, he's from the side of fan subbing that keeps the suffixes in. Oh, can of worms!
No.
Broto. I love Broto. Hey, Omegas, how do you feel about the BotCon prequel comic?
It is somehow wrong to see these big epic robot fights and then just a human face right there in the middle. That is just so odd. Like, okay, Pretenders have a place where they fit in, but, you know, that shell, I can't get over this. That shell is supposed to be them, you know, pretending to be someone. You know, it's going to get on my nerves a lot trying to picture that. Like,
well, what's weird is it does kind of wig me out a little bit. I mean, it looks better in this artwork than I think it does on the toy.
Oh, well, yeah.
But for
a little
some
bit
reason,
of artistic licensing works.
Yeah.
Miracles.
For some reason, it's this wigs me out, but I'm totally okay with half-naked Tom Selleck man from the Decepticons, whose name I always forget. You know, the one with the mustache?
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. I always forget his name, because I always think of him as being Tom Selleck. I don't know why. But I'm okay with him being a giant half-naked male, just like humanoid with flesh and stuff and a mustache. But for some reason, Metalhawk is wigging me out. I really don't know why.
Everything about him screams machine. It was like, okay, yeah, you know, I can accept that there's just a giant man on the battlefield. Okay, if he wants to go Mike Hagar on this thing, fine. That's his
business.
That's
what else he looks like. That's right.
Yep. So it kind of works, but it's, you know, Metalhawk is just, this is where my faceplate is supposed to be, and instead I have a face.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I don't think it looks bad per se, but it's a weird thing to look at, and also it's something that I can see, like, if someone is just coming onto this website who's not super into Transformers and is like, oh, hey, BotCon comic, and they look at that, they'll be like, what?
what's going on here? What?
Yeah. Also, Gigatron apparently at some point wanted Musashi's sword and then said that it kind of sucks. Really, I don't know. It's an interesting little bit of attempted backstory. It's kind of cool, but it's also really weird. I don't know. I need to see more of this prequel comic. And at the same time, I'm also keeping the perspective on of it's a convention comic, so it's not going to be, or at least it's not trying to measure up to a long line of dazzling pieces of storytelling.
It's not going to be world changing in any manner.
It's just kind of like
manner.
It's blah, like blah. put the convention toys in and have some fan service is really the name of the game when it comes to convention comics. So, you know, I mean, last year's notwithstanding, last year's was basically an animated episode written by animated people with Marcelo Mattier doing the artwork. That's a special potion for one very specific show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron, how do you feel about... Oh, good.
No, I was just going to bring up a rough number. That comic becomes our Chrono Trigger of the convention comics.
Yeah.
Everything else is just like, just not those projects.
Not as good as Chrono Trigger. There's no Toriyama sprites.
Hey, look, this is how they became neon colored in G2. Ooh.
I mean, yeah, that was neat, that one, where it was like, hey, it's the G2 comic. Like, that was fun. This one looks like it's going to be just fun, unless, like, Transtech shows up and makes everything try to be too serious. I don't know.
Well, that's how the comic started, though.
Well, it started with Transtech, but it was kind of like silly Transtech, because they were just kind of chilling out, going like, hey, look, an overlord. He's kind of short.
I think there always has to be a little bit of novelty to it, because, I mean, you do have this... like the 2010 comic is trying to bridge the gap between G1 and G2. This is how they got the weird colors. And here's Skybite for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how I hope, if they continue to use the Transtech, I hope it's just used kind of as the linker or like the watcher of Marvel, where it's something that bridges from one to the next but isn't involved, because there is a reason why Hasbro let Transtech die.
Well... the reason why they let it die was, I think, financial reasons. And because the Axiom Nexus Transtech only has ever existed post actual Transtech's death.
Yeah, yes. But the concept of taking the machine beast things even further is...
How are you feeling about the comic book itself so far?
Four pages in. Sure is artwork with words and color.
Yeah. I like the colors a lot.
Yeah.
They're real striking. Giving me some punch. But aside from comic book, we also have another guest announcement. Mr. Dan Gilvezan is going to be at BotCon. Dan Gilvezan was the voice of Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Dan Gilvezan was also the voice of Dargon on Dino Riders. He was Dirk Courage from the Spiral Zone, fan favorite Slipstream from G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Cooler, the leader of the Pound Puppies, Henry Mitchell in The New Adventures of Dennis the Menace. He's also been on Desperate Housewives, Bones, NYPD Blue, The Bernie Mac Show, Third Rock from the Sun, Diagnosis Murder, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Boston Legal, and She-Wolf of London, Love and Curses. He's also authored some novels like Drowned in the Grenadine. He also played Bumblebee in the old Transformers cartoon. So, we got some Dan Gilvezan action going on. That's neat. He's a good guest. He's actually a guy who is kind of a very professional guest kind of guest, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Like at TFCon, he had a routine and he did a real, like, his panel felt like he had done that panel before, and it was a very well polished, very snappy, very funny panel.
Yeah, he did something very similar at BotCon 2004.
Yes.
The first one in Pasadena, where it was very much a seminar panel type of thing almost.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for a bunch of fans.
Well, I mean, he doesn't sit down when he does a panel. Yeah. He is pacing for the entire hour and a half, however long it is. And, like, telling story after story. He, like, especially post-07 when Bumblebee, like, returned to the public eye, I think that he really stepped up his game. And, like, and I mean, some might not like the sound of this. I mean this as a good thing. He has a very polished guest performance that he is very good at doing. When he's on his own. I'm sure he's not going to be the only voice actor at BotCon 2012, so he probably won't need to engage in his very polished performance. Because he's also a very spontaneous dude. Yeah. He is a good guest. He's a fun guy. I'm sure there are folks who have not met him before, and should be a good time. Aaron, how are you feeling about Mr. Gilvezan?
Like I said, he makes for a great panelist. So it's nice. He also kind of does some of the, how do I get into voice acting stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much the same answers as they always give of go to 100 interviews or 100 auditions, get one job and think, wow, I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. And keep grinding on it. But no, he's makes for a good guest.
Hell yeah. Omegas, how are you feeling about Dan Gilvezan going to BotCon 2012?
That is absolutely awesome. I won't be there to enjoy it, but still very cool. You know, anytime you get a G1 voice actor that you don't normally have lying around, you know, like Peter Cullen, is, you know, as far as BotCon guests go, kind of common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing against him, but, you know, he does have the majority of the appearances.
It's so weird because a few years ago, the whole thing was, we can't afford to get Peter Cullen out here. And then, like, everything changed with the movies.
I still protest that they could afford Peter Cullen at BotCon 2010 because when they herded everyone outside into the summer morning sun of Florida, they had someone out there wheeling around $5 bottles of water. I'm convinced that's how they paid him off. Yeah, but anytime you get a unique guest from the original cartoon, that's pretty good. And especially when it's a character like Bumblebee, because that's kind of significant.
Yeah, main character. He's in a lot of episodes, has a lot of stories to tell, and he does have a lot of stories to tell. So that should be pretty good. He's also apparently going to be part of the Golden Ticket meet and greet. So for the 75 of you who may or may not be doing that,
yeah,
that should be fun. Oh, the Golden Ticket.
Which, before everything got pulled down, were still available.
I heard that the G.I. Joe Golden Ticket is a very different beast. Like, from what I saw in a couple threads about JoeCon. Apparently their Golden Ticket is an actual palpable item that people strive to want to purchase. Primarily in order to get toys. But still.
It's because those Joe guys are suckers. That's right, I said it.
I was just surprised to see, like, I guess I never paid attention to it before, but it's been there. It's not the first year they've had a Golden Ticket, and they were talking about how they've got to get that Golden Ticket so they can get to the club table and get the club toys before all those damn Golden Ticketers, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whoa, I hope that is not a sign of the future. Anyway, moving along from there, unless we've got anything else to add about the new BotCon news, we can do some new pick picks. Are you guys into that? Because I'm pretty good about it.
As long as I'm not going first.
I can go first because I have something in our topic list that you can click on. It's the new Transformers Prime toy commercial that Takara Tomy did. Very short commercial. It's for the Arms Micron series. Oddly enough, it gives us one of our first looks at Prime R.I.D. Bulkhead from another angle. And it's a really good commercial. Holy crap. It's got some excellent stop motion, in my opinion. The way the stop motion was directed is like exactly in tune with my tastes. Specifically, like the way that Optimus Prime kind of transforms and then slow motion, lands. And then while he's doing that, his Arms Micron jumps up and transforms and is caught by him in gun mode. It's just a really snappy, cool commercial, and I'm really glad to see, like, what I would call some pretty high-quality stop motion happening in a toy commercial, especially with Transformers, and showing them transforming. If they do more of those, I would be really happy. I'm kind of hoping now that there are at least three more Arms Micron commercials and that they all have dudes transforming like that, because that would make me be in a real happy place when I watch them. Did either of you guys check out that commercial?
Yeah, I saw it. I watched it a couple times.
I watched it more than a couple times.
Or are you watching it right now?
No, because I'm trying to be polite. I don't want you hearing me going all like, oh, stop motion. Omegas, how do you feel about the stop motion?
Took a look. It's pretty cool. I mean, it is kind of traditional for the Japanese Transformer commercials to use some really nice stop motion. I remember the G1 commercials.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, very smooth. So I love that they do stick to that, giving the toys a little bit more life than your typical, oh, there's a kid with an obnoxious voice playing with these toys.
I don't remember
in America.
I don't remember, though, the last time stop motion in a Transformers commercial has looked that good.
Yeah.
Like, that was a step, that was a good step forward. Especially in light of everyone kind of coming down on Arms Micron for having stickers and less paint apps, and the Minicons are on sprues, and apparently you have to build them and stuff like that. Aaron, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty into the commercial as well.
Yeah, it does look real good. Like, it is action movie in Prime's transformation of the pause during a couple of steps. It
keeps moving the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh! And it's also a really interesting commercial to see right after that much lengthier commercial slash demo video that was done for Arms Micron, which was about 8 or 9 minutes long and involved special effects and just people waving the toys around and the narrator voicing everybody really badly, which I thought was amazing. Like when Bumblebee gets shot and go, and the narrator's all like, nah, nani. and then that they put like keyframed effects on Optimus Prime's quote unquote Minicon Star Saber while a kid's hand is clearly just moving him towards Megatron and knocking Megatron over. It was a really, really fun week for Takara Tomy toy commercial videos. And also, yeah, the Arms Microns, they're making a big deal about the fact that you can stick a couple of them together, and if you stick some of them together in the shape of a sword, they literally are calling it the Star Saber. So, yeah.
Well, no, they really did show that it, like, it was about like Star Saber, where it was grip, hilt, blade.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there one that did gun, that turned into a bigger gun?
Well, I'm not gonna lie.
Maybe kind of?
Like, all the pictures I've seen, they just look like three Minicons stuck together in a sort of a stick shape.
Yeah.
One with a blade more prominent, one with gun barrels more prominent. Yeah. Also, the commercial gave me some insight into some pronunciations, like Cliffjumper's Micron sounds like its name is actually supposed to just be like shell, which makes sense because it's a triple-barreled cannon.
Okay.
And I still have no idea exactly how I'm supposed to say Ratchet's Minicon's name. It's like CL or something. I don't know. But that's my new pick. Is some cool official Japanese toy commercials.
I found my link that I was digging for.
Well, then share it with us.
Computron potentially TFC's next big thing.
Yeah, yes. I'm sitting there chewing my lip, and I'm like, I like Computron a lot. I think he's a really dynamically done. Like,
he was my first Gestalt, first Scramble City style. I remember and hunting and going to the service merchandise to get pieces, and I will buy all of these no matter what.
If TFC,
I still haven't bought the other three parts of Hercules, but if TFC does this, then
well, if TFC's doing this right, you know how like their TFC's aesthetic is basically like. It's really weird to say because it makes me feel old. It's very pseudo-retro throwback to the Unicron trilogy in that it's big blocky shapes and chunky ratchet joints. I think that the Technobots are a perfect match for that aesthetic.
Yep.
Because they are big, chunky future cars and motorcycles and drills and things. And I think that that really fits in with the aesthetic that the Hercules guys had, which is that 2006 era chunk Transformer look. I think this, if this is true, this is really cool and it could turn out really fun. Also car, like light, like specifically, was it Lightspeed? Is he the car?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Lightspeed. I always loved Lightspeed's alt mode and I'd love to see a modern remake of that. So Aaron, you're all in on this then pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I figured. Omegas, how are you feeling about Technobots?
Where are the pre-orders?
We don't even know what... Like,
I don't care. I will give TF Source my money right now.
All right, go.
Just take it. Just take it.
Send them some cash in an envelope. I'm sure that they won't complain.
These are my absolute favorite combiners from G1. My favorite toy as a kid was Lightspeed. and Afterburner and Scattershot were two of the only toys to survive my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely need this thing.
Can I say the sad thing yet?
What?
If they've only got art done, it's probably not going to be until 2013 at the earliest that these actually get released.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying. Unless
maybe we can get a part out for Christmas.
Maybe. But, I mean, this is also assuming that what we are seeing here is all that's actually done so far.
Yeah.
They may actually, like, this may just be the first thing they're showing us. They might have been working on this a lot longer. But just before everyone gets too excited, who and all the other Computron fans out there, of which I had no idea there were more than, like, six. I think Computron's cool. It's not like... I am doubting that one of these is going to be out in the summer. Like, don't sit there in August saying, where the hell is my nose cone? Because these are still transforming toys. They still do have a design cycle, and I'm not sure where they are on this one yet.
Yeah, from the machine translate, it looks like they're in sketches still early. So. Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, though, this is a third-party company, which means that their design process can be a lot more interactive, I'm sure, especially given the TFC got very fan-interactive with Hercules as time went on. They will probably share a whole lot of information on these as they are being made, so I'm sure we will all have tongues whetted. Do you guys think they're going to lock each of these four guys to being a specific limb, or do you think they might go for a Scramble City thing?
I kind of think with their styles that they may go to maybe arms and legs.
Do you think these four guys might Scramble City eyes, or do you think
I think halfway. I think it'll be, if he's an arm, he can be one side or the other, but I don't think it'll be a full Scramble City.
Okay,
but
that's what I meant. Like, do you think any of these guys could be an arm or leg?
No, I could see left arm or right arm.
Well, yeah, you just plug it on the other one.
Yeah, that'd be easy. Well, you know they do that just so they can market it.
Yeah.
The same way they did Hercules.
Because, I mean, given the shapes of these guys' alt modes, I actually could see it kind of happening. Like, I don't think it's impossible for them to double mode for the limbs, but...
Right, the biggest thing I'm thinking of is to prevent from having extra... complexity when it comes to how the foot and hand connects into everything.
I mean,
would keep me from doing that, because a hand is going to connect the same if it's right or left, but a hand may not connect the same way as a foot. With an engineering mindset, I can see that being something that is an easy drop from a design to save complexity. However,
well, they always do separate hands, so that does help. Like, they're probably not going to build the hands in. So that makes it a little more likely to me that they might be able to Scramble City these dudes up. Also because these guys have such non-realistic shapes to them, it's not as much of a stretch for them. Like, to take Nosecone, for example, to have him plug in drills pointed up, stick the hand in the bottom, or fold him so that the drills are a pair of toes and now he's a foot.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem impossible. And this is just me, like, shooting ideas in the breeze. Like, I'm not saying I expect this to happen. I'm not going to be up in arms if these guys can't Scramble City eyes. But it doesn't seem impossible. I don't know. I'd ask Omegas what he thinks, but I think he's just going to buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I felt my wallet twitch when I looked at it. So.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, it'll be going down.
Gonna happen. Throw down right now. Boom. Moving on from there, because these are also just design pictures of alt modes. We have only that much to work with. Omegas, have you got a new picture? Pick-a-ma-do.
Well, I had the Computron set, so...
Oh,
tough noogies.
Two of the seven Computron fans of the world are on this podcast right now. Seriously, like, I know there are, like, maybe three or four guys who really avow a deep love for Computron, but I am so happy to see Computron getting the love, because I think Computron and Abominus go completely forgotten by a whole lot of people. And they are the ones I'm actually more interested in seeing done as third-party toys, especially by TFC, because Computron and Abominus have so many more abstract shapes to work with.
Right.
You just kind of go nuts with them. I don't know. But Omegas, do you have a new pick?
Yeah, I think that leaves me with our updated image of Terracon Cliffjumper.
I was about to bring that up if neither of you guys did.
We've gone from the third red Cliffjumper in the same toy line to all purple and looking absolutely nothing like he did in the show.
Yeah, this is just, you know, he's gone cold. The corpse has gone cold. The blood's drained out of him.
Well, that's had the Dark Energon spread all the way over him. See, because before he was resisting, that's where the cracks came in.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And hey, guess what? He comes with a wolf that turns into a chainsaw. That's kind of cool.
Which Cliffjumper's always been known for.
Yeah, it's a little Ravage.
That's so weird.
It's just like that tiny lug nut gorilla thing. Like, I love those. I love the homages in this stuff. Like, and they also have a picture of Starscream, Voyager Starscream's Minicon, who is just like tiny Prime Soundwave. But yeah, they're doing him up. You know what? I actually don't mind that he's being done in purple myself. Like, I don't really need a show accurate zombie Cliffjumper. I'm actually kind of okay with the new color choice. Doesn't help that though. He's going to be still 2,000 yen, which, okay, that's actually okay. Never mind. I take that back. Yeah. You know what doesn't help is, he is, I think, one of the best examples of how they are adding Minicon compatibility to this line. If you take a look, he just has three of the exact same thing glued onto his car mode.
Yeah.
That's where his Minicon ports are.
I'm not a fan of the just glued on ports or attached ports.
Neither. They are not working out for me. I don't think that they're ruining the toys, but I really can't see them as a pro.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, they stick out. Like, Cliffjumper is admittedly a very easy kick toy to point out for this kind of thing, but
yeah.
I don't know. Hey, Omegas, you gonna buy one?
Probably not.
Oh.
Now that it's just, you know, it's purple Cliffjumper with a broken horn.
At least he's not another red Cliffjumper, am I right?
See, that's why I understand why they did it, because, you know, especially in Takara's line, where you've got the first edition and the main line so close together.
Yeah.
Three red Cliffjumpers is kind of suicidal.
Yeah.
And I liked it so much better when it was just some Energon damage on him.
I kind of like the palette, because they also changed his non-purple parts to this weird, like, off-brown. Like, this almost raisin color. And, I don't know, it's really weird in a way that I kind of like. I'm not going to tell anyone that they should buy it, because, you know, that's just color preference. I think it's kind of like that E-Hobby Masterpiece Rodimus kind of thing. Like, he's in cold colors, and I really like cold colors. That said, Twitter was fun to watch when this picture first came up. and I do feel bad for the folks who were relying on this to be their way to get first edition Cliffjumper in some form. Cause now he looks even less like Cliffjumper, which is a shame.
Yeah.
I do have a small silver lining for people, which is, I'm going to talk about in what we got this week, but basically Cyberverse Cliffjumper is transcendently good. So you do have that. Hooray. I don't know, any other thoughts on Blue Jumper?
No, I might take a look at him at BotCon, depending on how those prices go.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's a palette that is something that you kind of need to see in hand to be sure one way or the other.
Also, stickers. I'm curious what his stickerage will look like, because
yes. This
may not be indicative of that. Because I remember the first shot we saw of their Ratchet was missing most of his sticker work on his legs, which he, in later shots, clearly had additional stuff on there to add some red and oranges and whatnot. So, I'm curious. Kind of curious. Other than that, is that our new picks? Anyone else have anything they want to bring up? Or shall we continue on to the hot topic of the fandom?
I could make a joke about Cliffjumper turning blue at BotCon on the Golden Ticket Tour, but I'll What is the hot topic of the fandom?
We have the final nominees for the 2012 Transformers Hall of Fame's Silly Fictional Cartoon Robot Characters section. The part that people should not get mad about because it doesn't really matter. Unless they want to get comically angry about things. Because I'm going to totally hypocrite out and say, God damn it, Wheeljack again!
Yeah.
Who did he sleep with? I mean, like, am I the only one who remembers what he was like before he was cool and had swords? Am I the only one?
Well, he was the first Transformer we ever see.
Friggin' Wheeljack, man! I don't know. I feel like I won't be satisfied if I quietly stop getting angry about Wheeljack, so I feel I'll be more satisfied if I continue to pound my table and scream when Wheeljack comes up in this Hall of Fame discussion. But our five final nominees are Wheeljack, as well as Hot Rod, or Rodimus, Beast Wars Megatron specifically, and then in a really funny complete counterpoint to that specificity, RC.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Skybite. Skybite showing up out of nowhere. I'm kind of happy about it, but at the same time, I'm kind of going like, man, okay. Like, I am definitely, like, out of these five, I am campaigning for Skybite. I mean, like, out of these five choices, yeah, Skybite. That's who I want to see out of these five picks. Especially if everyone nominated RC for being Prime RC, and then the picture they're showing is the pink G1 RC. Not to say I have anything against pink G1 RC, but... I don't know.
Well, it's the bio has her going from one end to the other.
Yeah. Okay. Can I read the bio? Like, because the bio is even pseudo BotCon. The bio is referencing her BotCon appearance with the quote, "I'm more than just a pretty face." And it says, RC has gone through many changes from pink and white to sleeker dark blue. One of the few female Transformers to stand the test of time. Proven herself in battle, be it against Unicron, Shockeract, or Jehiaxis. RC has lost many partners. Most painful one being losing Cliffjumper to the hands of Starscream. Two people she could never do without is her human friend Jack Darby and her great nephew Rattrap. I don't know what RC they're even talking about. that's just crazy talk. Granted, that also has me tempted to vote RC because whoever this deranged gestalt RC is, she sounds kind of awesome. But hey, Skybite, look at that. I'm happy about him showing up because I wasn't looking around other sites that much, but I didn't hear about Skybite placing all that often. So I thought that he was pretty much out. And
yeah, there is a deep run across the internet that this is a fix.
Yeah, well, I mean, given how Swindle showed up everywhere, and is not on this list. I mean, for sure. And hey, guess what? It sucks that Minerva's not on this list. Although I entirely understand why she wouldn't be on here, because I don't know if she showed up outside of one or two websites out of the five or six they chose from.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's understandable. It sucks because this is the year of Minerva, and she does deserve it. And I feel kind of bad that I'm not able to say I really want to support Rodimus, because I like Rodimus a lot, but he's up against some stiff competition here. Don't laugh at that. That was not intentional. So,
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Omegas, how are you feeling about these nominees, and how do you feel about this criminal Wheeljack breaking his way into this list somehow?
Where's our traditional Scott McNeil nomination?
I say
RC's nephew Rattrap, so he's technically the Rattrap. Like, I'm gonna hang on a second. So Wheeljack is another one where, yeah, Wheeljack is another one where he's getting a mutated bio.
Yeah,
yeah. Wheeljack is built. Blah 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 blah. Dinobots inventions. They blow up. He's also a member of the Wreckers. No, you can't do that for this. What a cheater! I can't believe this.
At least they didn't try to work in the Energon not Wheeljack.
I am a total genius mechanic whose stuff blows up. Also, I'm a wrecker. I don't play by the rules. And I got swords. I drive the jackhammer looking for wreckers. What a cheat. I mean, at least RC, you know, is hilarious in how she's fusing the two bios together. But man, that Wheeljack, hang on a second. Can someone say Wheeljack?
Wheeljack.
All right. I feel better now. Omegas, aside from the Scott McNeil aspect, who do you think you're going to throw in with out of these five?
Honestly, I'm probably going to throw in for Beast Wars Megatron.
Well, I think he's going to get it.
RC, Wheeljack, Rodimus, that's next year's guaranteed inductions.
Yeah, for sure. Although I don't see why Wheeljack is guaranteed.
It's the first one we saw, man.
Yeah?
Oh, you start.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of firsts that you can talk about. I'm just going to leave that alone. I think Skybite is getting the pity one here. If that's the case, at least he's going to get a music video. That's going to be fun to see.
Like, yeah.
That the Skybite music video is making me feel better about the Hall of Fame dinner. Like the fact that we are probably going to get to see a Skybite music video makes me.
Yeah, this would be the year they decide not to do those videos anymore.
Then I'm going to throw my napkin on the table, really upset, and quietly eat my free dinner.
Have they said dinner?
I'm just assuming there's going to be
casino night and Hall of Fame event.
There's going to be at least like tea.
I will get some water from the back of the room.
I will slam my teacup on the table. Aaron, who are you throwing in with?
I really don't know. I'm thinking Skybite because it's the underdog. RC with the weird bit of everything and.
I'm enticed by this, like, gestalt RC personality. I'm not
gonna
lie.
But at the same time, for me, it would be Prime RC that I would be voting for.
Oh, yeah, and honestly, that's whose picture should have been in there.
Right.
Not to talk, like I said, I don't dislike G1 RC. I don't dislike the pink RC dynasty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I am really sure that Prime RC is the reason why she's in there.
Right.
But then again, this art is not representative in many cases. I mean, G1 Wheeljack is there. BotCon Skybite is the artwork we're seeing for Skybite. I don't think that's the Skybite we're all thinking of. Granted, that was a really good BotCon toy.
Yeah. And with, I mean, Wheeljack, I'm with you. Wheeljack.
Oh!
It's just to come from nowhere. I don't know if it's out of the Prime, but what we saw in Prime wasn't even Wheeljack.
I mean, the one episode he was in,
the one episode that he was in, and like the three that he got in G1, and oh, he made the Dinobots. Yeah, how well did that really work? But then he didn't. But then he did. But then G1 makes no sense. And
It's villainous. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's villainous how he... I mean, he clearly coerced the judges by building them things. And then, you know, it's... I don't know. And then he goes over to the Prime Wheeljack and he's all like, hey, Jackie, can I put you in my bio? That Wheeljack, you know, he's new. He probably didn't know that Wheeljack is a conniving thief and was like, oh, I guess. Little did he know his reputation was about to be stolen from his very identity.
But I mean, yeah, beyond that, Megatron, I'd just like to see a year that's not Beast Wars. Kind of rough, kind of mean, but every year it's been a
Beast Wars kick-in vote. They should just induct a Beast Wars character alongside the three G1 inductions.
The auto inducts are last year's 2, 3, and 4 on votes.
Yeah,
Even if Megatron doesn't get it in this year, he'll get in next year.
Yeah. There's no way he's not going to be in the top four.
So I don't know. At this point, I think we're talking about something that's just kind of jokey anymore.
The cartoon character side of the Hall of Fame has never been anything more than a mixture of, haha, it's a joke, and let's have fake fights over fictional characters who will never reward us for our support.
Right. I guess the biggest thing is the fact that what many of us were going for with the little bit of dig at FunPub of Swindle, he had character in animated that you could say that we're kind of voting for, but it seems like the sites that I was following, Swindle placed, and he did not show up here.
I'm pretty sure somebody involved in the process caught on to the joke of Swindle. Also, Skype's telling me our call ended. That's funny.
Yeah, we're still talking, I think.
Oh, we lost Omegas. That's what happened. He'll be back. Okay. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that Swindle was clearly seen for what it was. Not to say
they're taking us to task from the comment from last year of Erector was a great joke. Now don't do it again.
That might also be it. They're like, hey guys, listen, we really meant it. That was funny, but don't do it again. Although I am going to just say, I think that the Swindle joke is a little bit less juvenile than the Erector one.
Yes.
In fact, I would go so far as to say the Erector joke was several million times more juvenile in the way that most of its supporters were presenting it than the Swindle one. Hasbro were the only guys who got how funny Erector could be, in my opinion. They got it. They got it better than the people who voted for Erector, in my opinion. That's just how I saw it. That was glorious how they played that. That was fantastic. And if Hasbro were dick enough to basically make a dig at their own licensee about the credit card fiasco, I could see them putting Swindle in, but I'm guessing, as I said before, they are also a publicly traded, extremely large corporate company, so they probably won't do that. Hey, be our licensee. We'll make fun of you at your own show. It'll be a good time.
Everybody will laugh.
I mean, I'd respect a company that does that, but then again, I have really questionable taste when it comes to that kind of thing. The thing that I'm more interested in, though, is who the real-life people are that are going to be put in this, because they are the ones that actually matter, and whose recognition is actually, worth a lot. So I'm hoping we can get some news on the real-life inductees pretty soon.
Yeah, well, I want to say look at the guest list.
Well, That's always a good place to start. Take a look there. But I mean, you know, maybe are they going to bring in some more guys from Takara Tomy? Are they going to recognize some more Hasbro folks?
That's a good question. I could see maybe having a Hasbro designer getting in. And I think it's going to be voice actors, because we got the Takara guys when we were in Pasadena, because we were in Pasadena, and that is a air quotes easy flight to come from Japan. You're not adding another continent to fly over just a big old ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I would foresee the humans this year being the voice actors that are there, because they're iconic voices.
Well, and Gary Chalk and David Kaye have made massive contributions to the media of the franchise. So they definitely have earned their way in, for sure. So yeah, it should be an interesting event, especially if all these characters get their music videos. The jazz music video somehow has me the least excited, which is weird because he's the most suited to it. But I think that's why. Like, I want to see what and RC's as well. Actually, there are so many "I'm a Tough Girl" songs that I'm not that interested to see how that's going to turn out, because it's kind of predictable. It's stuff like Sky. If they could get Peter Spellos to come in and do just like a full length rendition of the Skybite song, that would make BotCon 2012 completely worth it for all the whatever we've been talking about these last few weeks. Like, that would solve everything. That'd be so good. Oh God, it's never going to happen. So I got to not get too excited about that idea. Anyway, those are your final nominees for the 2012 Transformers Hall of Fame. They are all fictional characters. There's no reason to actually get into fights over this, unless it's for fun, because then it's real fun. But this is nothing to really take all that seriously. They're fictional characters. That said, Wheeljack is just a rank stinking cheat And if I've never seen someone commit like such bribery, such clear bribery, dishonesty, and just outright scum of the earth activity. Sorry, scum of the Cybertron activity to make their way into this prestigious Hall of Fame list, and it sickens me to my core. Wheeljack? Anyway, moving on from there, I have a really happy bit of news to share with you all. The BotShots online game has launched! And when you've been recording a podcast and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning, and you go to the BotShots registration thing and go and look at its name generators and like the list of first names and last names, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, I couldn't stop laughing at the name choices I had. Have either of you guys signed up for the BotShots game yet?
No.
No.
You are missing out.
I played it, but did not register. How's that?
Listen, all right, let me give you a couple of the ideas of names you can have for characters here, okay? Fun Puncher. All right? He punches fun.
Makes sense.
Here's another good one. Triple Grandis, because he's three Grandises. You get a prefix and a suffix. It's fantastic. Awesome Zarak. You know, the form of Zarak we never got to see out of Japan. Bumbleplex. Someone actually took that one. There is a Bumbleplex out there. My own character in here is Fun King 3055. Fun King Boss. He was going to be Fun Puncher, but I found out everyone was using Puncher because Puncher is one of the best suffixes, so I thought I had to choose something else. So you can't have King. Gog Dog, I know, is in here as Hard Saurus 6969. you can have Hard King. The fact that Hard is one of the things, it's just great. It's so good. I want all these Transformer names to be real Transformers. Hard Supreme.
And you called Erector Juvenile.
Activate Hard Supreme. He must do battle with Rumble Target. Oh god, it's happening again. Someone say something about BotShots, or I'm going to be here just like clicking names all day.
Okay, I will register here, alright?
Okay, good. Are you going to be Trigger Titan?
Let's see.
My god! How easily are you amused?
Listen, I've gone through things you can't understand. Alright, I want to go into space with Astro Grandis. Because he would just be like Grandis with a space helmet. It would be so good.
Okay, my second auto-generate was Astro Wrecker.
Ah! Astro King. Hang on, we gotta try something with Grin. You gotta have something that ends with Grin. Hard Grin. Anyway, I really like the BotShots online game. I played it a little bit. The actual game is kind of ludicrous. There's no PvP yet. You just kind of just rapidly click on symbols that look the same and hope that you win. That's as far as I can tell the way to play the game.
Yeah.
The reason to play this game is the name generator. It's awesome. It's great. I love it. it's so awesome. You could say it's Awesome Maximus. Anyway, so Aaron, you're signing up. Omegas, are you going to sign up for BotShots?
I don't know yet.
Seriously? You don't know yet?
Oh, I don't know yet.
You could be Nemesis Puncher. You're a
Sounds
Nemesis.
Like a good guy and a bad guy.
You're a Nemesis and you punch. You could be Fun Zone. That's a cool Transformer name.
That's almost Fan Zone.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's Fun Zone. about, I don't know, Sound Zone. These all sound like characters who get killed off in comic books. I had to get the word out about the BotShots game. I didn't think I was going to find it so amusing again, but I did. So there you go. If you ever need to get me distracted for about half an hour, just sit me in front of the BotShots homepage, and I'm going to play with the name generator and laugh. So neither of you guys have actually played the game, so I
can't. Yeah, I've played two or three rounds of the game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you find it?
It is just match stuff quickly.
Yeah.
And eventually, I think you win.
You know, you match stuff really quickly. The rock, paper, scissors thing is still there, but in this game, you just want to match stuff really fast so that you just start unloading twice as many attacks as your opponent. So even if they win most of the rock, paper, scissors things through sheer luck, you're still winning anyway because you're hitting them more often.
Right.
Because, you know, it's some good, deep 21st century gameplay. You know what I have? You know what I have that's absolutely just fresh in the mailbox I just got while we were recording?
What's that?
I have listener voicemail.
What?
So,
No.
I think it's time for some listener voicemail, guys. We have a listener voicemail from Vectorplex. Okay, that sounds like a BotShots name. You should be Funplex. Vectorplex sent in this voicemail some time ago. And I'm going to play it for you now. So, enjoy.
Hello, TFW podcast crew. This is Vectorplex of the TFW 2005 Awards with a voicemail question for whoever was at any of the conventions that showed the Voyager class Prime Optimus Prime figure. I looked at many of the pictures and I was curious because I figured that one of you fine folk would know, are the weapons on his arms detachable? Because looking at the pictures, it does not show the Prime figure without the weapons in his hands. And I'd like to know that, because then I could decide whether or not I should buy it or not. Thank you. This is Vectorplex saying good night and good luck. And Seth Buzzard, I love you too.
So, is this time to mention that voicemail was from August 14th?
Yeah, that would clue us in a little bit better.
Is that a good time to bring that part up? So I don't know because that is first edition Voyager Optimus Prime, and a whole lot of people never got that toy, so nobody really knows if his weapons are detachable or not because nobody got him. That was my little joke about the situation of the first edition toys. Yes, I am sure by this point Vectorplex has discovered that they are removable, as did most of the rest of us. So, that was a fun listener voicemail. Let's mention again, I don't actually listen to these before I play them, so it's kind of a fun, spontaneous time for all of us here on the podcast when we run through these. I do have a listener question as well. This came in from XL Hedge. It's a small series of questions. Hey, Masters of the Ultra Matrix and Evangelists. Question number one. What do you consider your G1 canon? Is it strictly the comic, the cartoon, or a mixture of both? In my case, I consider it to be the stuff that I think is cool from all the various forms. Because I am not a purist. Aaron, what is your G1 canon?
I'd have to say the show, including the Japanese stuff. That's as close to something that's going to be internally consistent as you can get. I know the comics were all right, but then you start thinking, well, do you include the Japanese or the UK stuff? Because sometimes that'd get weird and contradictory and try and find spots in between. But if you just go for the cartoon, it's a whole lot easier, but still crazy confusing.
Yes. Omegas, what is your G1?
I tend to agree. I grew up on the cartoon. Unfortunately, I didn't have access to the comics until adulthood. And by then, the cartoon was so engraved in my head, there was no getting it out. Like, I know the comics where a lot of the good characterization came from. I know that's where we get our somewhat definitive versions of Grimlock, Shockwave, and many other characters. The cartoon gave some pretty simplistic characterization to. But that's just what's stuck in my head all these years.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, a lot of people, I know a lot of people who will say the comics are better than the show, but the show is their G1 because it's the thing they saw.
Yeah.
And that's, that is
not... Yeah, I didn't read the G1 comics until much later, so...
Yeah, like, that outlook is not unrealistic to me. Like, I can totally see where that's coming from. There's another couple of questions in here. I'm spacing out because I'm looking at a really good toy, and I have aspartame just running through my blood right now. It's amazing. Question number two. If you had to sell your entire collection of stuff, both on-topic and off-topic, what's the one thing you would keep? Aaron.
Bah. Probably Power Master Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was my first Optimus Prime toy. There are pictures of me Christmas morning opening it and playing with it. And if I could only have one toy, I would want something that had sentimental value, not just, you know, be like, oh, I have this piece. It's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Yay. So what? I'm selling it all off. I should be going for money, not keep something for money, but keep something for sentimental value. So that'd be it.
All right. Omegas, what's the one thing you would keep?
God, that's a tough call. If I had to get rid of all of it, keep one. It's probably going to be my Star Saber. Just because I get the feeling that it'd be easier to get back everything else if I wanted to. Everything else is U.S. stuff, mainline, pretty common. But that was my special little BotCon moment, so that's a little bit more precious to me.
All right. In my case, I don't know. Off pure sentimentality, it'd probably be a toss-up between my Wreck-Gar or my Ratchet, because those were two of my very, very first actual toys I ever had. So in the sentimental view, those are the ones that are probably on top. Those or Omega Supreme, but Supreme is a little bit less sentimental. That one's still very sentimental, but not on the sheer level that Wreck-Gar and Ratchet are. So, yeah, somewhere in that, I don't know, I'd cheat. That's what I'd do. I would keep the thing I'd keep would be the box in which I kept a few thousand toys, because I'd have spent all that money on a giant box. There you go.
Loopholes.
Boom. Question three. Is there any unfinished storyline in Transformers you would like to see finished? Omegas, what is an unfinished storyline that you want to put a cap on?
Honestly, G1.
Oh, it did finish. You saw the rebirth. It was a fantastic ending.
Yeah, where everyone vowed revenge flying off into space, and then...
We're never seen again.
Never happened. Not even that. Even going to the Japanese continuity, I'd like to see any kind of continuation, because one of the few areas that has never been touched on at all is that bridge point between G1 and Beast Wars, like how everyone ended up, you know, in minute size, you know, and how everyone started
covers that
vaguely, not very well. I'd still like to see the transition done a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Aaron, what's an unfinished storyline you'd like to see finished?
War Within, Dark Ages.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Because that literally, that was a hard stop. Not, you know, Rebirth was like, oh, we're not going to do a fourth season, but we can sneak out 3 that show the toys and set up the potential for something else.
That Dark Ages thing was literally like, yeah, we're scripting these. Oh, the company's gone.
Yeah. Next time on... There is no next time, Steve. That's...
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I think if you did that, you'd have to roll in the Dreamwave Unicron Trilogy comics as well. Because they were telling a story, too.
Yeah, and those were actually pretty good, so... Yeah, that's because otherwise, like I said, I think that G1 did its own thing rather well and did kind of continue on into Japan for another 3 series. So depending on how you want to play that game, it kind of survived.
I want to play Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I do too. Although, hey, I just got an email from Origin to continue some off-topicness. I got Battlefield 3 for free for pre-ordering Mass Effect. Sorry.
Okay, go and fly an upside-down helicopter sometime.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. The story I really want to see finished is the story that they started and then completely ruined in Energon and Superlink. Where everything was going to tie together, only then they friggin' mind-wiped the entire villain cast and then just took it off the rails and stopped making it an actual TV show. And started to smack their face against, like, the creative well and then let the blood that ran from their open wounds form the rest of the story. They had so much potential going into that they just friggin' squandered, and that's what I want to see get... I consider that unfinished, and I want to see that get finished properly. Because that was going to be some neat stuff, and it ended up being some pretty dumb stuff. So that's my answer. I got all hateful there. I'm sorry. Question number 4. With all your mention of fanfics, which do you recommend? I don't know what all our mention of fanfics is. So
we jokingly mentioned that should be written, but...
Oh, okay. All right. Aaron, what fanfic do you recommend?
I don't read any fanfics.
That's not the question. The question is, what fanfic do you recommend?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm going to give you a pro tip. All right, go to the fanfiction forum. All right, just close your eyes and roll your mouse up and down, and then tell me the topic title you stop on.
Oh, that involves going into the fanfiction forum. Not that it scares me, but...
All right, pro tip. That is how you can answer this question. So just go ahead. All right, no one can hear us talking about this.
They're all like 2 posts.
Close your eyes. It doesn't matter how many posts they are. Just pick one.
New story needs people.
All right, new story needs people. That is Aaron's favorite fanfic. Omegas, what is your recommended fanfiction?
I generally recommend everyone go and read their own fanfic, because RC isn't going to pair up with your Mary Sue character and anyone else's.
Well, hey, listen. All right, I don't see why you got to make those kind of claims, those kind of generalizations. Some of us like to put Perceptor in, okay? He's got a real big microscope. And it's not always about pink cars, okay? Or blue motorcycles, in fact. I'm going to draw the line right there. Now,
they say about robots with big microscopes, right?
Yeah, so yeah, they hang out with Wheeljack, and that's where Wheeljack belongs, in the fanfiction forum, not on the Hall of Fame nominations list. Am I right?
Wheeljack.
Yeah. The fanfic I recommend is Ravage 3 Bodies Evolution. That's a fantastic fanfiction. You should all check it out. I'm sure it's not that hard to find. Just Google it. It's a good time. Question 5. This is a small fib here. Excel Hedge actually sent in 2 questions in a row. Please don't do that, because we already have a big ass queue. Just send in a question. And if it's a huge number of parts, then you probably voted for Wheeljack. So don't. Question 5. I recently got my hands, that being Excel Hedges, on a Classics Optimus, and I really want to upgrade him with a trailer. Now, I already have the City Commander and Shadow Commanders for his repaints, but I don't like the look of Powered. Can you recommend good trailers, third-party or Hasbro Takara, that can go with Classics Prime? Possibly a good weapon set. I'm just going to preemptively say G3 trailer.
Yeah, isn't that about the only other trailer that's out there?
Well, you have the G3 trailer
and Classics Prime.
You have the BTS trailer as well.
The
BTS trailer, by all accounts, is perfectly fine, and in fact, it may be aesthetically superior to your tastes, because the G3 trailer is a big long box. The BTS trailer does have a little bit more flow to its design, and I have talked to people who did prefer the look of the BTS trailer, also because it's not as enormous. So, BTS and G3 really, I think, are the best two trailers to look at. G3, I did a review way back. It's a solid piece of toy. BTS, from all accounts, is a very solidly built piece of toy. It only has one problem, which is that it really needed some little fold-down feet, because if you put a heavy toy inside the base mode kind of, like, implodes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But those are the two ones to look at. And I think they are both constantly on sale now. So that's easiest place to look. Unless do either of you guys know of other trailers that can go with Classics Prime? Like I was
sitting here trying to think. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean,
short of anybody's like Papercraft kit bash thing.
Wulong T does some damn good Papercraft. I still have to do a video for his paper scrapper. That's getting embarrassing for me now.
I do know that there was a different trailer release that was more classic in design. Which kind of works out for me. The BTS one, I never quite liked how it just kind of shifted aesthetics immediately.
Hmm. Are you thinking of the G3 or are you thinking of a different one? Because the G3 was very G1, but it was huge.
Yeah, it's probably the one I'm thinking of.
It's the one with the mirror mode, like the stealth mode where it's covered in mirrors.
Yeah.
That one was really well done, and it's gone on sale everywhere, which is only a boon, because for $50, that thing is super worth it, I think. As for weapon sets, I mean, Vangsta of Renderform does some cool stuff. And the G3 trailer comes with weapons. That's all I can think of. Do you guys know of any weapon sets?
I don't know. How well does the Corbot axe maybe work there?
That can work, yeah. The Corbot axe is also really cool. There's a new dark version of that out now.
Ooh.
Check that out. Anyway, ExoHedge goes on to say, and guys, seriously, as much as it keeps coming up on the podcast and seeing Evangelist's review on it on HJU, you guys should just go ahead and watch My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Look, the more people try to browbeat me into watching the show, the less I feel like watching it. This is what happened with Citizen Kane. This is why I didn't see Citizen Kane until I was 27 years old, i.e. like a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I might see it sometime, but I just don't really feel like it right now.
Gog and I watched an episode of it together in Florida, and it is a show for sure.
I watched the first two episodes twice, actually, because I ended up watching them again with some other folks I know. And those were neat, but that's all I've seen, and I just still don't really feel that inclined to watch. I mean, I watched the clip with Derpy on YouTube, and that was amusing, but that's about it. Like, I mean, it's not something I really feel enticed to watch, especially when I have other stuff on my plate for when I want to sit down and just watch things. Like, I still got to see all of Young Justice. I still got to see the old Teen Titans show's fourth season. I still got to see anything from Batman Brave and the Bold, Spectacular Spider-Man,
shows.
I stumbled into one that I'll admit I feel kind of ashamed that I had never watched before, is Doctor Who, the new series
of
Doctor Who.
That one, I'm feeling more warmed up towards watching it now than I did about a year or two ago when that was the My Little Pony that everyone was trying to tell me to see.
Yeah. Well, my issue with that one specifically was the fact that I remembered seeing back when the Sci-Fi Channel was the Sci-Fi Channel you had to have one of the big dishes to get it and hope the weather was right. I remembered seeing some of the old UK like black box theater stuff, and it was more like a Twilight Zone, not the very well produced series that it is now. And so I was always like, I had people that were going the crazy, oh my gosh, it's the neatest thing ever. I'm like, yeah, I remember that, you know. But it ends up being a comparison, like for Star Trek, the original Star Trek versus like Deep Space Nine. If you were to compare the two, yeah, they're both Star Trek, but they're drastically different shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And My Little Pony very well may be something like that. But
well, no, My Little Pony is the first time that that franchise has ever had a good media. So that's a neat thing. It's just it's a very well done show that is totally not up my alley right now.
And the issue is the champions are very, very champion-y.
Yeah, and then
it gets overbearing.
And I wish I could say it was a one-way street, but the people who don't like the show sometimes get pretty stupid and won't shut up about how they don't like the show. And I'm like, look, I don't even like the show. Why are you telling me that you don't like the show? I don't care. I really don't care at all. And it's just the internet right now. That's what cartoon oriented geeky fandoms are all up in right now. In like 3 years, there's going to be something else. And then maybe by then I'll be like, I'm going to go watch that My Little Pony show that was causing so many fights and uproars way back in the day.
Awesome will just pour out of your eyes and you'll cry because you never watched it originally.
Yeah, well, no, then I'll be all like, wow, I'm so glad that I wasn't invested in this back when people were having fights over potentially offensive names because we did it better in the Transformers fandom. Am I right, Spastic? Yeah.
Yeah.
what a weird point of pride to have about anything. And hey, guess what? I'm guilty of overhyping shows to people as well and saying they're the best thing ever. It's something we all do, but that's also the reason why I'm just not feeling inclined to check it out right now. I feel I have no obligation to, and I'm kind of unmotivated to as well. So there you go.
Yeah. Me being the cartoon guy, I personally feel I take the Roger Rabbit scenario of I'll only do it when it's funny.
Well, you could do a highly caustic video about the whole like derpy, ditzy, crooked eye, whatever thing that's going on right now.
This is just part of me that wants to go, hey guys, I watched My Little Pony and here's my opinion of it.
And just wave
two bottles of pink and blue glue.
I know so much about that whole debacle only because of my Twitter feed. And it's been real fun reading about it, having no stake in it, because it's kind of interesting. But that aside, thank you for your listener question. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some What We Got This Week and Mass Effect 3. So, yes. Catch you after this.
I have no information on a Reaper. References to the term exist in some para-historical theories on galactic extinction cycles.
They're really selling the Geth did it message. I bet you can't even say Reapers without inciting a panic. Reapers!
That's all for now.
Hi, everyone! It's me! Apple Vangelis here on the farm with the friggin' something-something and the... I don't know. I'm trying to throw a bone out to the folks we were just, like, not being friendly to their show about. And that it fell right through my hands. I don't know what happened there.
I will hence be known as Omega Slime.
I don't even know what that's in reference to.
I'm going with a fruit theme here, okay? I'm trying to salvage this.
I was really confused. I was like, all right.
There is no salvaging it except for me going, look, Wheeljack.
You sure are Omega Slime. that's all I had to say. We're going to talk about what we got this week, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron. What did you get this week that was Transformers?
Got quite a bit this week that was Transformers.
So did I. I don't know if we have any crossovers, so I might just like start cutting in.
Alrighty. Last Friday, I ended up getting the day off because I had 40 hours, so hey, don't show up.
I didn't get that Transformer last Friday.
Okay. So I went on a bit of a road trip. About an hour away, there is a city that has a vintage toy store in it. Didn't get anything there, picked up stuff on the way, but I did have a very interesting conversation that warrants discussion. I had the guy there that had to have been their Transformers guy that didn't realize that there are other more Transformers guys out there. He was telling me all about the movie. I was like, oh, okay. Thinking relatively recent. Yeah, it had Orson Welles in it and Robert Stack in it. And that's the real movie.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's 86. That's keeping it real. Nice. And I was like, okay, they don't really have a whole lot here in the way of Transformers. Tried to leave. And he kept going. And I was like, yeah, well,
leave.
But then it was the fourth season that's only three episodes. So I don't know why they called it a season. And then that was the end of Transformers. It's like, well, no. said in Japan they had three more series, and then it was Beast Wars. That's not real Transformers. That's just Animorphs.
All right. That's right. That's where I'd go like, yep. Yeah. Hey, look, no. My parking meter's running out, so I really got to get out of here. And I'll catch you around, though, all right?
And so then it was like I was stuck in, like, I was trying to leave because there was a storm coming through and I had dogs out in the vehicle. I didn't know how dogs and vehicle would do. And I was like, no, Animorphs came after. And there have been other shows that are even back to Cars now that are really good, that are better than G1. Oh, nothing's better than G1. yeah, there's a storm going. I got to get going before the dogs go crazy into my truck. Okay, bye. Well, I'm just saying. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're just saying. I'm just leaving. But on that trip, to bring it back around, I picked up quite a bit of Cyberverse, actually.
That I picked up a friggin' 8. Omegas, did you get any Cyberverse lately?
No.
Okay, Aaron, okay. I guess go through your Cyberverse. I bought some Cyberverse, too.
Found a Cyberverse Optimus Prime.
I didn't get any Commanders, so I'm already... My whole dream of this being a nice crossed-over bit, it's completely gone. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's definitely more opposable than all of the other Cyberverse, as befits his higher price point. I really do like his guns have a very deeply recessed handle in it, so that it looks like, potentially, if you're looking at it from the outside, it looks like the gun is coming out of his arm.
All right.
Which looks really good. Kind of have an issue pegging in on his truck mode in a couple places because of the way that the pegs are located. That doesn't have a whole lot of clearance because it is so deeply recessed into the handle. But I like him. The only issue that I really have with him toy-wise is his right elbow. I need to take some floor polish too. It's very loose. So to hold his gun out, he has to kind of have it cocked outwards a bit to get, I guess, to a different point on the ball that's not the wrong dimensions. Just a touch. But he's very, I mean, he's poseable. Ball joint hips, swivel knees, ball joint elbows, universal shoulders.
Nice.
And his shoulder armor is actually on the same, is on part of the deal, so that as you move his arm up and down, the shoulder bit goes with it. Which I was really not expecting to see out of a Cyberverse.
I had, we'll see if you get there. But yeah, Cyberverse and Prime did a couple surprises for me.
The one that I hear you ha-haing over, I bet, would be Cliffjumper.
Yeah, but let's you know, did you get any other Commanders? Or are we?
No. Okay. I guess it's also supposed to be Megatron and Starscream.
Yeah.
There were 6 Primes and nothing else. So I don't know
is supposed to be there too.
I don't know if there's weird assortments going on or if they got in 2 cases and somebody bought all the other single packed versus Prime being 8 in a case or whatever. Also comes with a mini DVD of an episode of Prime. I think it was Master and Student or Master and whatever.
Oh, really? That's the one that was in the entertainment pack for first edition.
Yeah. So it's sitting in the pile of the wow, I got these extra DVDs with stuff pile.
I wonder if it's the exact same ISO and they just burned it onto a smaller physical disc.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It fit all in the package and it was neat. I think that's actually the first mini DVD I've ever gotten. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Those are already partially extinct now, I think.
Yeah. Well, the biggest issue is you can't slot load those.
Yeah.
It has to go into a tray. So, most of my DVD players won't even run it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The Cyberverse that I'm most excited about is Cliffjumper.
Holy! Do you want to talk about them right now, or do you want to talk about the other ones first?
Sure, we can talk about them right now.
Okay. You go. I'm just going to say that I didn't expect this to come out of a Cyberverse price point ever! That's all I have to say right now.
He like does a backflip when he transforms.
He friggin' transforms like a scout. And then he has more posability than some Commander Cyberverses I've had.
Yeah, his posability is on par with Prime's.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's better because he kind of has a foot pivot.
No, no, he has a... Okay, let me list this off.
I'm saying Prime doesn't have a foot pivot.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I mean. It's like okay, so Legion Cliffjumper, that is old-timey Legends, okay? Look at one of your Legends toys, all right? Like the lowest price point toy. This guy has ball-jointed shoulder, a ball-jointed elbow that provides him with a bicep swivel, ball-jointed hips, knee hinges, ball-jointed ankles with full amounts of tilt in four directions. That's pretty good for a figure that costs how much in the States?
$5.
Yeah, $5 in the States. And he has a really interesting transformation where he does, like, fold completely, like, around and in half. And granted, he doesn't look a whole lot like Prime Cliffjumper's show model, but he does pull off the chest and the kind of pelvis coming up over the front windshield.
Yeah, for being a $5 toy, he pulls it off well enough.
He is the best Legends price point toy I have ever seen. I'm going to go right out and say it. Like, just for sheer wow factor and everything he does. And then he also comes with a sword that he can mount in various different ways. For that, he is possibly the best bang for your buck Transformers toy I have ever seen. Like, that is super good for what he is. The other thing I just said about overhyping something? Yeah, there, I just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But oh my god! Like, he's so well done. I actually just bought a second one today to start trying to modify a little bit.
Well, I don't know how much you'd be able to modify him out other than paint.
His thighs.
Or giving him a back.
I want to modify his thighs, because the one problem he has is I find you can't really, like, swing his leg forwards all that much.
Oh, yeah, because all the stuff in front of that ball joint.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you pop his leg off, you see it like the kind of the ceiling over the ball joint formed by his belt.
Yeah.
I think if you file that down, that would give him the clearance. And so I want to do that. And then, yeah, just a whole bunch of paint apps and see like what this guy looks like given a little bit of TLC, because he deserves it, man. Like, this is I want to get another one. And many thanks to many folks on Twitter. I want to try repainting him into like movie one Big Daddy. And then try repainting him into Tailgate, RC's original partner. And this toy is good, man.
So for the other Cyberverses I picked up, what is the Cyberverse plural? Cyberverse I?
Cyberverses.
It's Cyberverses. American. I did pick up an RC.
So did I.
I do like the way that her transformation works, other than the fact that her front cowl piece just falls off anytime I touch it.
Yeah. The two problems I have with her is that in vehicle mode, the side panel things that form her wings don't really peg anywhere.
Yeah.
And then in robot mode, her backpack doesn't really peg anywhere, more so that if you push it hard enough, it just kind of falls off.
Yep.
But okay, I'm really happy about how I opened my Cyberverses, because I opened up my Viacons, then RC, then Cliffjumper. And RC and the Viacons already impressed me with having standardized ball shoulders, ball hips, and knees. Like,
yes.
For Legends, that's pretty good. Then Cliffjumper came along and just rewrote the entire book. But ignoring him, like, RC, I think, is also a really well-done Legends toy. Just not, like, transcendently well-done like Cliffjumper was.
Yeah, RC seems like it's 90%.
Yeah.
She feels like There needs to be something else that pegs in to lock everything together.
If she had more lock points in either mode, I think I'd like her more. And really, it's just in the alt mode, it's those side pieces. I just don't like that part.
Yeah.
The backpack, I could totally see being something that worked in testing that maybe plastic tolerances is screwing with.
Right, because it might just be something where there's one part that needs to be just a smidge thinner, and it'd be great, but when you're working with very small pieces of plastic, 10% difference makes, you know, that's quite a bit.
And I think it's pretty amazing, like, how much they pulled off with RC, especially
Her legs, the way that they flip opposite directions to make other parts of the bike and yet leave the wheels free and open.
And the sculpting, Gog pointed this out before, but she has some really well-done sculpting on her head and her torso, like, for such a tiny figure. I would agree with some folks, like the Legions Cliffjumper, his head is a little bit doofy looking, but yeah. I mean, he is such a tiny toy. And the thing is, he is a fantastic toy, more so just for being a toy rather than being a Cliffjumper. Like, Yeah. His being Cliff Jumper is very incidental to how good he is.
Yeah, he could be anybody and be a good toy.
Yeah, whereas RC is like, as the Prime RC design, she turns out pretty cool for a Legion.
And then the three more Viacons.
Yeah, I got two Viacons. They're the only ones I've found so far. And
I have bought every Viacon that I've seen so far.
I have two. I've only seen two. I think the Viacon's pretty good for a Legends toy before I saw Cliff Jumper, much like RC.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the Viacon and RC that they have, what appears to be very standardized, ball-jointed major limb connections, and then, hey, knees. It's like, hey, yeah. Then I get basic poses out of them. That's really cool. And like you have said, you know, the Viacons, regardless of how I think their robot modes may have turned out, which I think is just, you know, it's fine. It's not the best. It's not the worst. Their vehicle modes are gorgeous. I could have just like 50 of those things lined up, and I'm not going to.
That's my problem. That's $5.
There's $7 over here.
And every time that I'm in a store and I've seen a Viacon, it's like there's nothing. Ooh, Viacon. Oh, I'll get some.
Well, that's the thing. I've only seen Bumblebees and Ratchets and Cliff Jumpers. And so an abundance of Cliff Jumpers has led me to start considering army building Cliff Jumper, which is really silly.
But that makes no sense.
I know.
These guys are an army.
I know. But why couldn't they have gotten the Cliff Jumper toy? Because then that would have just been like...
I'd be done.
Yeah. That I suppose is the one downside of Cliff Jumper is that he just makes all the other legends, like for all the stuff that I think they're doing well, he is throwing a giant eclipse over their achievements because he's so well done and for a legend toy. It is kind of a bummer because the Viacons are pretty well done, but then I sit there and go like, man, but what if they turned out like Cliff Jumper? And then... Same thing with RC, although RC in a motorcycle and female transformer at that size, there are even more limitations going on.
Right.
I do really like, though, that touch of the Viacon, like having that thing where you fold the chest down, fold the head out, then fold it back up, and it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's a good way to get more depth in that chest.
How do you feel about the weapons? They're kind of gummy.
Yeah. RCs especially so. I'm afraid as I plug it into the very tight ports on her. I'm afraid that one time that peg is just going to twist off and I'm going to have a worthless gun.
Well, you know what I've been doing with her gun? I've just been attaching it to Cliff Jumper's sword. Because her gun has a hole on it that his pegs can mix with. And I think that's the point of these somewhat generic looking weapons is to just mix and match them together. And I kind of like that.
Well, her weapon actually looks quite a bit like Bumblebee's blasters, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Almost exactly like my first edition Bumblebee's blasters. That is Bumblebee's blasters because it has an additional little thing on one side.
Yeah. Weird.
So, mystery solved. You heard it here fourth.
Ba-ba-da-bum. Can I just make a recommendation to everyone listening who does not, everyone out there who is not going to buy any Cyberverse toys ever, make one exception for Cliff Jumper. It's only $5 to $7 out of your wallet. You will be at least, in possession of a curiosity. Like, it's really well done, and I think everyone should buy one because he's a legend, and thus it's not a monetary commitment to make. He's so well done just as a toy. Man, I could talk for ages about this guy. Love him. He's like the toy that you'd carry around in your pocket just for the sake of carrying a little robot car around.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
And he comes with a sword! And then what's so cool about this sword, it's cut, so if you hold it like a normal sword, it fits like really nicely around his forearms, and then also, if you stick it kind of like underslung, like if you plug the long peg into the bottom of his fist, there's a little bit of sculpted clearance there, so that you can have it, like, sticking off the bottom of his arm, and it looks way better than having it sticking off the top of his arm. Like, it looks like it's coming out of his arm in a way. It's so cool. I love this toy. I really love this toy. And unfortunately, it sounds like Bumblebee and Ratchet are not... They are not Cliff Jumper tier. They're just more normal legends with nice touches. And I'm cool with that. Yeah. I actually may have picked them up on the way home and decided to not open them, so I have something for next week. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But,
Goodness, lies, filthy lies, probably from that.
Sounds like a whole bunch wheeljack of wheeljack. Yeah. Man, I'm so glad that I'm so glad that more people are buying Legion's Cliffjumper. Omegas, do you have Legion's Cliffjumper?
Nope.
Do something about it.
Trying to.
Okay, good.
Try harder.
Hey, everyone out there in the world.
No, it's still not here.
Oh, you gotta clench, and then he's gonna, yeah. Just get out there. Everyone out there in the world who thinks Transformers are in any way neat, go and find a Legion's Cyberverse Prime Cliffjumper. It will be worth your time.
Amen.
Hell yeah. Anyway, I'm done traipsing all over your what we got this week. I'm sorry about that. But
all right.
The notion of Cliffjumper coming up, I had to get in on that.
So at Target today, I felt kind of bad because there was some Prime RID toys there. There were 9 Bumblebees, 2 Cliffjumpers, and 1 Wheeljack. So I went, well, let's see about this Bumblebee thing.
Why didn't you got it? Man, am I the only one who's going to have the discipline? Really, like, I'm waiting for Hotshot. I am waiting for Hotshot.
Yes and no. Part of me wanted a bigger toy because I still feel like, even though I've got like $30 of Cyberverse sitting here, it's like, oh, those aren't really Transformers, are they? And I love them. I mean, they're good toys. There's not one of these that I'd say is not worth what I spent on it. But still, there's that psychology of that's that other line that shows up at Big Lots and gas stations.
That's a dangerous rationalization going on there.
Toys for poor kids.
You see, you could say that until Cliffjumper. Cliffjumper is like the game changer for that whole approach to these things. I don't know.
But again, I think the biggest issue that I have with these Prime RID toys only comes about from having the comparison with the first editions. Mm-hmm. Because as a toy itself, the Bumblebee Deluxe or Revealer or whatever they're calling them is not a bad toy. It is a good representation of Bumblebee with interesting transformation and an automorph that flips you when you pull his arms out. It flips everything around and finishes the transformation. That is a neat gimmick. And I've seen so many people go at him, and didn't have one of the others sitting on both of the others sitting on my desk right now, this would be a good toy.
By all accounts, I've heard that his automorph is at worst an interesting concept that doesn't work, and then at best it's kind of neat. And I do like the idea, like having seen it, especially in that Japanese commercial, I was like, that does look really neat.
Issue is going to be if that gear gets off. If that gear pops off, all bets are off. But as long as everything holds together, it's fine. He ends up looking a little wide in the shoulders.
And now I know why. You know, it's for that gimmick. Yeah. Like, at least I know why now. Omegas, I know you have the toy too. You're popping in there.
My only argument with the Automorph was it is a very dynamic Automorph. There's a ton of things going on when you're moving the arms back in robot mode. But it's the fact that it needs one more click. It just doesn't quite go far enough to set everything the way it would naturally set.
Mm. And that's why I'm so glad that they are doing a recharacterization into Hotshot with that toy, so that I have like a non-Bumblebee reason to check out the mold. That's what I was so hoping for out of Nitro Bumblebee from Dark of the Moon, because I just don't want another Bumblebee. If you just give it a new head, call it like the Bee Bumbler. Like, I'd be more interested in it, but no.
Bumble Jumper.
Yeah, Bumble Jumper. Make it Hubcap. You know, whatever you want to do. Because, doing Hotshot out of that mold is great, because I want to know what that mold's like, and I like that I don't have to get a superfluous Bumblebee to do so. It's a weird term.
But, so that's it for toys. I do have one other on-topic thing.
So do I.
Yeah. Did you get a hardcover trade paperback?
No, I got a Blu-ray box set of discs of video.
Last Stand of the Wreckers.
How is that hardcover?
Everything that the comic was is in here.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy what they're doing now with hardcovers.
Oh.
So It's one of those things that you realize that maybe you have an issue again when this is the third time essentially that I've bought this comic.
It's fine. It's Nick Rush and James Roberts. It's fine.
Yeah, it's what I say of showing your beliefs with your wallet. I am more than happy to have bought this a third time because it's a great story, and it includes not only does it include bullets. It includes the Deviant Art add-on. Was it Deadman's Boots?
I think that's Deadman's Boots.
Yeah, it was the one-page comic, and then it has just other things. It talks about how they came up with Squadron X, the characters they decided to use for that, because everybody else that would have been were already other places in the IDW verse. So they're like, yeah, well, we went for these. This is why we went with the kind of obscure characters and explained the little things that you see, like the, I forget who it was. There's one of them, Macabre, that has all the emblems around his neck. And those are badges that he'd collect over years and torn off the bodies of high ranking Autobots and Decepticons. So it gives you even more insight into what the guys that were writing it were thinking, and it's worth it. It's a good story. It's really is a hardcover. It's not just a thicker trade paperback. It's an honest to goodness book.
Excellent. Worth it. Yeah, I'm going to be trying to order that as soon as I can. I think that's It sounds like it's what I want it to be.
Yes. Oh, I guess I do have one toy that I just tossed the book up there for. Got in my Club Overrun.
Oh yeah. How's yours?
Yeah. Fine.
Excellent.
I don't have. I guess there's a potential paint wear issue on the roof.
It looks so minor. I don't even think I'd like, especially since it's black. Like I.
Yeah, it's black on red. I'm not seeing it. Where I've seen somebody in a review thread mention that it might potentially be wear from the box, actually.
Oh.
Since they have the foam inserts.
That is a chance. I mean, that's a slightly abrasive foam.
That it's, well, no, that as it sits in the box, that what one person was saying, that it looks like when you put him in the box, that his roof was above the level of the top of the box.
Oh, okay.
So that the lid part of the, if you've not had one of these exclusives short of the C-Cons, all of them come in like almost like a Euro Games board game type of box where it's a big, heavy cardboard display box. And so that potentially could have been wearing on the plastic. And then the theory that the kind of slightly sparkly gray plastic on the clear or slightly sparkly gray paint on the clear plastic maybe doesn't bond as well or something like that, that has caused chipping or wearing beyond what would be normal.
It sounds like something that's not an error in judgment, though.
Right.
Like, it sounds like that's just, like, that's, you know, much like Reveal the Shield Wheeljack's stress marks. That sounds like just a case of that's unfortunately just how the chemistry of all that stuff came together. And I'm sure that you could say, like, oh, the box should have been bigger, but at the same time, it's such a weird call to make on that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
So I have him transformed with the alternate method of having the wings folded behind the back and have the back part of the car halfway down to make him look more G1-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really surprised that this wasn't set up as the way to do it.
Everything I've seen is that. it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying in all of their artwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an alternate headed Wheeljack with the paint scheme instead of having this air quotes mistransformation that makes him look drastically different because you don't have the wings. You've got a different profile around the head. You've got the different head. It makes it look much more like a different toy than just different paint scheme, different head. So try that with yours if you get it or with your
lovely
free club one.
Yeah.
But no, that is it now for me and on topic.
Into the world of Omegas Prime. Omegas, tell me about your Transformers acquisitions this week.
Funny thing. When you come into a podcast with all six members of Hercules and three Canadian first edition Prime toys, you kind of get tapped out for a little while.
Yeah. So you're in a rest period right now.
Yeah, I'm in one of those periods where I'm waiting for things to come in. I have one thing, and one thing only, and it is on topic.
Oh!
Because a YouTube follower of mine was nice enough to hook... he does not listen to the podcast, I believe, but Skating Shark, if you are out there, thank you. He was nice enough to hook me up with a first edition Megatron.
Oh, lovely.
Oh,
is
nice.
Is it from the 2-pack or is it the Japanese one?
It's the 2-pack.
Okay.
Yeah, and since he didn't want him, he threw in the kids, too.
Oh, sweet! I would maybe dare say those are my favorite parts of the 2-pack.
Aww.
I have a tiny Mego!
I mean, between Megatron and the kids, like, those are kind of my favorite parts of the entertainment pack, so I think that's a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, not to talk smack on the Prime, it's just that, like, the Megatron I find way more interesting, and the kids are, you know, they're the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I consider myself very fortunate to find somebody who was only interested in the Optimus from that set.
Yeah.
You know, because that being the San Diego Comic-Con, that last I checked, it was still easy to get off of HTS.
Yep.
Yeah. This was the one I thought I'd have a hell of a time getting a hold of. But it is a nice figure. I also have to get a little bit of floor polish to fix up his shoulder ball joints. But I am happy with him. He is nice and solid. He's very very nicely on model.
How's that paint job on him? I love that paint job.
Oh, that is nice. I love that silver, and I don't know what they did to this gray plastic they used for his legs and shoulders, but it doesn't stand out from the silver so much to be distracting.
Yeah,
it all just kind of blends very nicely.
His palette is gorgeous. That is a Megatron I am not unhappy to own.
It's very 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 nice. Now I'm just pining for the new one. Even more, though, I'm aware they apparently transformed about the same.
Pretty much identical from what I heard. The new one, I should do a quick update.
From what I have, they're pretty much identical.
Some folks have shown me, shown us really in the thread and on Twitter, what it looks like when you paint the new one in silver paint, like a nice thin coat of silver, and that brushed metal look looks amazing.
Looks a lot better like that.
Yeah. I am doing that when I get that toy, and I'm pining after that toy.
Said he went through 8 silver Sharpies, which I'm hoping he had like 8, or maybe it was 6, but had like half. I'm hoping they were like half dead Sharpies.
Well, I get a jar of actual silver paint and a soft brush, and it'll look even better, I think.
Yeah,
but that is
my big concern with that though would be thickness of the paint.
Well, then you water it. You water it down. You put on a palette. You water it down a little bit, and then you just. It on nice and careful, like.
But then it won't be a silver.
It will. You just add a dab of water to it. This is basic acrylic paint skills. I'm coming from a Games Workshop pedigree, son. I know all about this.
Welcome to the BotCon 2012 customization class.
And then everyone's like, "Why are you putting water in the metallics? You're separating the metal flakes, you fool." That's a really good haul, though. Like that Megatron is, I think, an underratedly good toy. And hey, do your kids, are you able to pose their necks? Because you can pose their necks.
Well, strangely enough, Raph is the only one I've tried to twist the head off of.
Oh, why would you do that? That's kind of mean.
Stupid little plot device. No, yeah, I can pose the heads on them. They move. It is kind of weird having double Jack and double Raph here.
Doppelgangers.
Yeah. Alternate attire where they put t-shirts on over their regular clothes.
Oh, God. I hate these New York clones.
Oh, man. Well, that's a very nice haul. That's cool.
Just makes me want the rest of First Edition now, which really sucks.
I would know the feeling.
Shut up. There's that nagging thing in the back of my head going, oh, you've only got two more to go. Go on.
Yeah, you should do it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Totally worth it. Here, let me take the heat off you here, because I have some expensive toys to talk about myself, as far as Transformers go. So I talked about the Cyberverse Halls, you know, Cliffjumper RC, Viacon, get Cliffjumper. I got my first bot shots, because I found them as well. They are $5 at Walmart, so I picked up two to start off. I'm going to end up owning them all, I just wanted to spread it out. So the first two I picked up were the Translucent Sentinel Prime, because I know he's actually not that rare, even though he's one per case, but he is one per case. So I wanted to get him.
Yeah.
There were two there. And I got Barricade. Quick thoughts. Number one, by the way, you probably at this point have heard them go off in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So there, that's what that was. Sentinel Prime does not have enough clearance to roll.
No.
I don't know how I did not hear about that from anyone else. I was just not paying attention or something. But he can't roll, which is kind of bad when that's part of your whole gaming scheme. Like, you just kind of have to, like, shove him across the floor. I am told by Brentosaur on Twitter that the painted one looks infinitely better than the translucent one. The sculpting tells me that that's probably true. But that does not help with the clearance.
It's the super bot shot. Not just the regular bot shot.
Right, he's super. And he often doesn't stand up because he doesn't have enough forward momentum to catapult off of Barricade when they hit each other. Barricade rolls like a champion and is awesome. I love this little Barricade. And hey, guess what? I love bot shots. These are really cool gimmick. These are a really cool gimmick. Put together in a really neat couple of toys. I'm thinking that I'm going to do a blip video once I get all of Wave 1 and I get at least one launcher and one 3-pack. I'm just going to do a little overview of, like, hey, this is why bot shots is cool. And then see if I can get a whole bunch of people who don't even like Transformers to start buying bot shots out of sheer peer pressure, and they are so cute. Barricade is, like, if you're only going to get one, get Barricade. He's, as far as I can tell, the champion of all these little designs. And it's like the gimmick doesn't always work in terms of them landing on their feet. But when it does, it's magical the way that it happens. I love it. And transforming them is just, it's fun. These are the ultimate little desk toys. I love these things. Bot Shots is a gimmick that on paper shouldn't make me even blink, but in execution makes me so happy. I really like it. So I am officially bot shot. I was going to say something really nasty there. I officially am no longer someone who has never seen a bot shots toy. So
that is decidedly not nasty.
That's true. I also got a Prime RID Deluxe for cheaper than Canadian retail through fellow podcaster Gog Dog. Gog Dog asked me if I wanted Prime Soundwave, and I said, yes, I do want a Prime Soundwave, so he sold me a Prime Soundwave, pretty much at cost. And I like this toy a lot. Yes, its legs are somewhat flawed, but if you don't care that much about the continuity of whether or not he has backwards knees, I think they are still decently poseable. Like, I'm able to still pose them a good 45-degree bend backwards, so I think they're fine. And also, I don't think he's ever posed his legs outside of standing and walking in the show, so I don't really care. I am amazed at how his arms turned out. I think they look really cool, and they're really poseable. Like, there's a lot of jointage in there that's really smartly done. And I love Laserbeak, even though it's really just a drone. I love Laserbeak and how it's been executed, because
it's just beautiful. For talking about a toy and I get goofy responses to it, but it's just the way that it all integrates and in or out, works.
You know what the best part about Laserbeak is? If you're plugging him back into Soundwave, you don't have to line everything up and put him back in. You plug in a peg and then you fold the wings up.
Yep.
And if you're going to remove him, fold the wings down, pull, and he's out. It's a really well done, well engineered, intricate way of connecting in, but the execution is as simple as flip, pull, or push, flip. That's it. I've heard some people say, like, oh, the transformation's kind of simple. I'm like, not in any kind of bad way, in my opinion. I think the transformation is great at being simple, yet making his alt mode not have a humongous amount of junk hanging off it. Yes, yeah. There's junk here and there, but in the pantheon of deluxe aircraft transformers, I think that this is one of the better alt modes.
Well, there's also the difference between simple and refined.
For sure. For sure.
I think this is a design that is, in my opinion, it's well refined. That it's not... To be simple would be like you split the front of it apart and stand it up, and then it's a robot. Yeah. And it does more than that and is very poseable. It's somebody sat there and looked at it and kind of said, okay, what's the best way to do this? Let's try it that way.
I do have two qualms with him that I wish were different. Number yeah. one, I wish his toes and heels, like those two pieces that form his foot, I wish they clipped together somehow.
Okay.
Because they are separate, so when you do move them around, it's very easy for them to kind of just become desynchronized, which is mm-hmm. kind of a bummer. This isn't one of the points. I am kind of torn on the thigh stuff that makes his hip rotations a little bit problematic. It's not outright blocking stuff, making it's not like it's impossible for him to move his legs. It's just troublesome because mm-hmm. you have to get that stuff out of the way. But the other yeah. thing that I have a problem with is I really wish he had a second joint in his neck for swiveling.
Yeah.
Because there's a ball joint there. I've had a lot of people mention, like, hey, make sure you flip the nose or that rear nose coney thing that's on the back of the plane around so that it's you get more clearance to raise his head up. And it's like, no, I've tried it both ways and I get a decent amount of clearance. Actually, kind of either way, I'm finding. But I really wish that there was another joint in there so he could just outright turn his head left and right.
Yeah, well, I think that, like I said when I got it, I think that it's a victim of having that automorph head flip in there.
I'm trying to figure out...
Because there's the spring in there, and if that had been on a peg that rotated without the spring, I think there'd be more tension in it so that you could do more with it.
I guess. I'm just trying to figure out, like, if there was a way to have... Like, if they just put a swivel cup for the ball joint connection
yeah.
that his head has. Like, on the bright side... His head connects by one ball joint connection, and it's really easy to pop his head off, especially if, you know, maybe a third party will do up a couple copies of his head with different faceplate decos, which I think would be a really cool idea. I think that Soundwave is great. He is definitely not a toy that everyone's going to like because he does have his fair share of eccentricities, and I think I pronounced that right. My tongue is dying. Mm-hmm. Wheeljack, I think, is, as far as just a toy goes, a better toy. But I kind of like Soundwave more because I think Soundwave accomplishes more things that are really up my alley. I am still kind of happy that I have the Japanese version of this on pre-order just so I can see how it turns out. I want to have them side by side to see what the differences are. I'm really digging Soundwave and mucho appreciations out to GogDog for helping me hook up on this, because even though I have started to see Prime RID Deluxes, I have never seen a Soundwave.
Yeah, the wonders of being short-packed.
Yeah. The only other thing I got this week was, and I talked about this on Primetime a little bit, the Blu-ray edition of Transformers Prime Season 1. I can just say about the special features, they are not all that good. As far as being...
Shut your mouth!
Well, here's how I'm going to say this. They are not all that good as far as the way that they are advertised. Because the box says you're getting original making of special and a toy featurette and a season 2 preview. The season 2 preview is just that scene of the branding that we all saw a million times at conventions. That's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
The making of special is from before the show aired and is kind of short and not all that amazing. Like, it was okay. But to me, the most important thing of the making of special is we now have Blu-ray quality footage of Transformers Cybertron / Galaxy Force and Transformers yeah. Animated. We have Blu-ray quality footage of those two shows now. This is possibly the only time we'll ever see those shows in Blu-ray quality in any time in the near future, which is kind of a sobering bummer. But the cool thing about this set is that they bring up animated a lot in that featurette. And they bring okay. it up. They bring it up more at the beginning of the toy featurette, which means that it's not, and then they show footage from animated and from Galaxy Force, very, very brief footage from Galaxy Force, but it's still there. And I didn't know if they would be allowed to do that, given the mixed ownerships of some of those shows, especially animated. So that was a cool thing. The toy featurette. Now, it's not really a featurette about toys. That's where I would say it's disappointing. However, the toy featurette is, I think, a really cool interview with the regular BotCon visiting dudes from Hasbro talking about their involvement in the making of Prime as a TV show and toy line. More so Prime as a franchise element. They talk about things like toy development cycles, processes. There's a lot of toy in there, but it's not like a full-on, this is how the toys are made. It's more so about how it's kind of a cool primer for people who have never been to a BotCon and don't understand why any of us have any affection for Hasbro folks.
Yeah.
Because it's the team, like the current team anyway, like, you know, Lombardo's not there and Zeeb and Ehler's not there, very sadly. But Aaron Archer's in there. Friggin' Alvarez is the first guy to pop up. That was where I was like, there are only going to be a few of us who find that amusing.
Yeah.
But he's the first guy to pop up. A whole bunch of dudes who I recognize from the BotCon panels pop up. And they talk about some really cool things that I didn't know. They also clear up some great info that I think more people need to know. Like they tell you, a toy has a 2-year development cycle. They even mention stuff that does not put everything in a perfectly happy light. Like it's all said in a very jovial way. And also that toy featurette was recorded after BotCon. So yeah. It's actually a very recent video clip compared to the making of featurette, which was hell of old.
Yeah.
But the toy featurette, they mention things like good reaction. Like Alvarez talks about the amazing fan reaction towards Knockout, right down to the cosplayers at BotCon or how, like, mm-hmm. None of them expected Knockout to be such a fan favorite character. And I was like, that is a really cool thing to bring up, because
yeah,
that is true. I mean, there's no on paper reason why so many of us think Knockout is cool. And then he goes on to say it's probably just a combination of the cool design and the really good voice acting, and that, you know, he's got that character. He's kind of a bastard. He doesn't say that on the DVD, obviously, but they also mentioned something really interesting, which is that Breakdown was originally going to be Lugnut. Which I did not know. I did not know that. And they said they wanted to have a Decepticon who was extremely loyal to Megatron. So originally it was going to be Lugnut from Animated, pretty much. And then they said there were a couple reasons why they didn't do it. They said, number one, the Reveal the Shield toy. Now I'm not sure if they said this or if this is something I pulled from someone else. But they kind of implied, like, that we kind of did everything we could do for the ultimate Lugnut through Animated and Reveal the Shield. And then they went on to say, what was it? They didn't want to, because they already had aircraft Decepticons. They didn't want to have another jet Decepticon.
Okay.
And then they said that they felt that they would have to make too many compromises to put Lugnut in the show, and they did not want to discredit the character of Lugnut, because they feel Lugnut is an iconic character now. And I thought that was a really cool thing to hear, because that means they've now pretty much either stated or shown that Lockdown, Lugnut, and Bulkhead are three animated characters who are considered to be iconic members of the franchise now.
Nice.
And I thought that was a really cool thing for them to say. They gave a lot of props to Animated, in my opinion. And that Lugnut thing was the perfect cherry on top, where they said that we did not want to do bad by the iconic image of Lugnut and force feed him into Prime in a way where it wouldn't work. Like, between having to mess with his aesthetic or having to make him not be an airplane, it just wouldn't work for them. So that was really cool. And they talk about some interesting toy stuff. All I'm saying is it's not a featurette all about the toys. It's far more a featurette all about the Hasbro guys, and in a really good way. They talk about characters they'd love to see show up in the Prime aesthetic. Aaron Archer, of course, says, I really want to see Cosmos. And I'm like, don't say that, 'cause you're going to get the line killed.
Yeah. And he's the line killer.
Yeah. But they all had some really cool answers for characters they want to see. Some very unique answers from some of them. And then the guys who weren't about to give unique answers kind of said, either the characters have already been done, or one guy gave a really great answer where he's like, listen, we're working on the show and we are doing the character designs ahead of time, like 2 years ahead of time. If I tell you who my favorite Transformer characters are, you're just going to start figuring out who's going to show up in the show, and we don't want to spoil the surprise for you. And I was like, that's a really good answer to that question. So I really enjoyed the toy featurette. It was also longer than the making of. It was like 16 and a half minutes long. And
that's good length.
Yeah, it's a great, great interview that really gets across. It doesn't get it across like, you know, single-handedly, but it shows you why so many of us think so fondly of the Hasbro design guys. It was great. And all that aside, by the way, the show looks like Transformers Prime. It looks really good in Blu-ray. So there is that. You know, I'm talking about the 16-minute featurette on the $60 box set, and I'm going to add in the actual show you're buying. It looks pretty good too. It also comes with a graphic novel, like the small. How big is, you know the graphic novels that are kind of downsized to be more like a paperback book size, and it's just the Transformers Prime prequel comic series with Cliff Jumper, and the somewhat spooky imagery of RC assuming her motorcycle mode for the first time. She scans a motorcycle, and then there's this huge shot of like parts of her body kind of becoming a motorcycle, but in a really macabre way. I forgot about that image. It's kind of creepy. Definitely, if you get a chance to pick up this Blu-ray set and you like Transformers Prime, then unless you don't have any way of playing Blu-ray discs, you really should get this Blu-ray set. And guess what? In the next 5 years, you're probably going to have a way to play Blu-ray discs, so just get the Blu-ray set, for crying out loud. That's a horrible reasoning, but I'm just saying. It's a well-done set, and I think it was worth the money and the wait. And it is also just a huge step forward to see Blu-ray quality on, you know, a toy commercial tier piece of media. It's really inspiring to see that people do care and give a crap and will do that for such a show. That is all the Transformers stuff I got this week. So let's go into off-topic, ladies and gentlemen. Starting us off, Omega's Prime, what did you get that was off-topic?
Not a thing.
What did you have for lunch today?
I had a pizza burger.
Wait, what?
Someone had the brilliant idea of actually putting pepperoni on a burger.
And like melted cheese as well, or?
Uh-huh, a little bit of marinara.
Marinara. That sounds cool, but it also sounds like it could be like a salt death trap.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll live 3 months less, but good lord, it was worth it.
Did your tongue fall off after you ate it? Like, that's the question.
No.
Okay, no. That's good. That's good.
It's hanging in there because it wants another one.
Well, there, you got that this week. If you tried to tell me there was such a thing as a pizza burger, I'd have called you crazy, but you ate one. So, you know, guess what? It exists. Moving on from there. The only thing I got off topic this week was Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Aaron,
Is this Mass Effect 3 time?
Well, let's not be too long because I kind of want to record a Vaudio Sonic about this once we're all done, Mass Effect.
Yeah, should I get a pillow or anything?
No, we'll be quick. Maybe I don't know what I want to record. I want to record something about Mass Effect 3, but I want to wait till we're done because I'm only 9 hours and 16 minutes into the game after my first day of playing it. So,
yeah.
You know, that's only apparently just under a third of the way through a basic, very completist single-player playthrough. If you liked Mass Effect and or Mass Effect 2, you should probably play Mass Effect 3.
Yes.
Gameplay-wise...
That is a good summation.
Yeah, gameplay-wise, I'm having a good time as a Vanguard. And specifically as a Vanguard who is entering the game severely leveled up from being a crossover character. Who was in the previous games. So I jumped right in there and I had a whole bunch of levels already and a whole bunch of XP ready to go and just leveled up all my stuff. My playstyle is I throw shockwaves everywhere because they recharge really fast for me now. When Centurions drop smoke bombs, I just throw more shockwaves into the smoke and hear people go, ah! And then just wait for the smoke to go away. And when I'm not doing that, I have a shotgun with incendiary ammo that kills dudes really hard. And then when they're far away, I charge, which is the teleport body check, And then doing that raises my shields to 150% and gives me a small damage buff to my shotgun. So I then shoot the guy who I just shoulder checked from across the map. And then if there's anyone else there, I turn on Nova, which is the jumping energy punch where all my shield energy goes into my fist and I punch a dude. And the best part about all this is that Shepard also goes, "Rawr!" like when he does half these attacks. So I know a lot of folks, you know, will have things to say about everything about this game, but I am actually kind of enjoying the melee additions to the gameplay because it really works with how I played Vanguard in Mass Effect 2 and 1, which was using charge and shotguns all the time. So I'm having a really good time with the game.
I'm enjoying what seems to be the exact opposite playstyle of I'm going to stand back here with a long gun and shoot people in the head and watch their heads disappear.
Yeah, you're like I know that Vanguard is not super common from what I've heard. Like a lot of people I talk to are usually soldier or infiltrator.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is more or less the complete antithesis to the way I play Mass Effect.
And if one of those dudes throws down smoke screen, well, I've got the scope that lets me see through the smoke screen, and then I aim at his head and I pull the trigger and it disappears.
You see, I would have that, except I got dudes on my team who do that for me. I just throw shockwaves into the smoke so that there are
bodies. See, I got dudes on my team that I'm like, why don't you go get up in his face, huh?
Well, that's what... Okay, dude, Vega. Freddy Prinze Jr. That guy is crazy. Him and DLC Man, both of them, when they've been on my squad, they've run up to start having a boxing match with an Atlas. And I'm like, I guess you're distracting the Atlas from shooting rockets at me, so that's cool. But I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to say any spoilers on here, so I'm avoiding dropping names or situations. But so far, I am satisfied with how the game is progressing. It is not as... Even though it opens in a really desperate way, and I suppose this might be a criticism, that from that I feel like it's a very far more relaxed plot. It does not feel as oppressively time-limited as Mass Effect 2's plot, and that's not to say I disliked Mass Effect 2's plot, but number 3 does feel like a nice change back to a bit of a slower burn, which is weird given the overall story of the game, but that aside, like, just as an experience, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I really like that because I have rolled a game from the very first one. That it's those decisions that I made in the first game, they show up again, and it does kind of hang a little bit of a lantern on it, like, hey, remember when we met last time?
I kind of like that.
But it's nice, and because there are some of them that I'm like, I wouldn't have remembered.
I played Mass Effect
some of those sideways decisions that I made 4 years ago.
Yeah, I played that game a long time ago.
So yeah, but still, it's good game. BioWare does a good job of getting depth of their story, and every planet that you stop at has a file card, basically, that mentions something that has no point anywhere else.
And I want to say...
And that's what makes it good, because it's like, oh, okay, other stuff has happened in this world other than what's going on right now. That's why I liked Deus Ex. When I played that game, I hit up every terminal to read everybody's email.
Yeah.
And realize that in some of those offices, they had to have built a little office drama that was going on. If this guy asked that girl to go to this event, but she said no because she said yes to this other guy doing this other thing. But you find this out through reading 3 or 4 different people's emails. You're like, oh my gosh, this is a world that's really happening.
Well, I've gotten some of those, like, and this is a completely different thing, but the Mass Effect email system, I got emails that made me giddy. Like when I got an email, I'm not going to say who it's from, but it says, is this the right email address?
Yes.
That one made me go like, oh my God, it's the guy who sent this email. And then I went and met him and I was like, ah, this is such a sad story, but it's also awesome. I will say, that I'm actually, having thought it over and having experienced it and having figured out ways to sort of break the system, I am preferring the way that probing works in Mass Effect 3. I cannot disagree with... I was watching the quick look on Giant Bomb, and Jeff Gerstmann said that he thinks it is weird that the probing kind of feels like a larger technology that's just had pieces of it cut out, and what's left is in the game. I can't deny it does kind of feel odd that the mechanics from Mass Effect 2 are there, even though you aren't even doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a number of screens that kind of don't need to be there, but now that I've learned that I can just go to a sector and mash the left trigger and then flee and then come back later, I'm kind of okay with that myself, but that's just me. I haven't tried the multiplayer yet, but I have had more than one person tell me that we've got to go out there and...
I played one round on the PC and got stuck with a group that all ran off to do their own thing, and so we all died quickly.
You know, if only we were connected to a website that had an attached forum community of people.
Yeah, that might work.
I'm just saying. If only we were on social media with a bunch of other people who play the same game we play. And
People are in a dream world.
I will be trying to do some of the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer sometime. I don't know when, because I really just want to keep playing the single player game. So that I'm just worried about going into. I know that there are cutoff points and that the multiplayer factors into things. I'll just reboot a save to do multiplayer or something, because I don't want to talk to other people on the internet until I finish the game once, so I can have stuff blown for me.
I had one spoiler slip through on Twitter, and then I unfollowed a person. I'm not going to name names. Hopefully you know who you are.
Well, I'm just going to say, I heard from Nemesis Predaking that he said, I think it was him, it might have been someone else, somebody said, they said Mass Effect on Twitter, and that activated a bot, because they said Mass Effect, and it was a spoiler bot that said, hey, guess what happens at the end of the game? So be careful.
All your fish in the fish tank die.
Hey, I've actually been going to feed. I've been going up to push the button between every
mission. I just bought the VI that takes care of that for you.
Well, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. All right, I'm buying shotguns with my money. That's what Van Shepard buys. He buys shotguns and he hits reporters. That's just how he rolls. Keep an eye out for that second. Mass Effect 3. That's all I really want to say about it. Let's roll into the final part of the podcast, which is Aaron's off-topic-ry.
The only off-topic-ry stuff that I got was I continued my Lego-ness.
I was staring at Star Wars Lego kits today and almost bought one and didn't.
Picked up X-Wing and the TIE Fighter.
Oh, man.
Both are good builds. I like the X-Wing better because the TIE Fighter, much of its mass is you're doing the same thing four times.
Tread this road with caution, sir.
Well, it's the same thing. Well, the X-Wing, you build each of the wings twice, basically. So there's repetition because it's a repeated part.
What I'm saying is that they have, like, $2,000 kits of, like, a billion parts.
Oh, I know. I know. Did you see the tested video?
Yeah, you're inching closer and closer to the realm of the...
Did you see the video that they did after everything was said and done?
No, I still have to watch the whole series.
I'll show it to you, and as we get done here,
I can look it up. I'm a VIP member on those sites. I have a premium.
I really enjoyed them, and they're good. I think I like the other version of the X-Wing that I have somewhere better, because it's bigger, and it has like a storage area for all the extra stuff that comes with it. But this one comes with the little Porkins.
Okay, I kind of. What does Lego Porkins look like?
Looks kind of like Cartman.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, it's. Fun build. You can build it as Red 5 or Red 6. It comes with an extra pieces and extra stickers to give it the 6th slash for the mark. It comes with extra. It comes with R2-D2 and R5 something.
What size and price point is that set up?
I want to say it was $50.
And you're clearing the $50 tier here. You're getting...
Yeah.
They have $85 kits.
60. I think it was 60.
Oh, God.
It was $59.99.
I will pray for you.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be the extent of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because, well, the next thing past that is $59.99. Because the next thing past that is going to be the one last one that I've kind of eyeballed and then put down is the Millennium Falcon.
You should just buy that. Because
there's one that's at $130. But that I'm not going to buy that.
You should buy the $130 one because if you buy the $60 one, you're just going to end up buying the $130 one anyway. So why not just save yourself the hassle?
Yeah, that's that breaks my 3-digit mark. That is a good hard point for me.
You're gonna one day see like a $99.99 one, and you're gonna be like, oh, that's technically under 3 digits. It's gonna just you'll get the Millennium Falcon. Just give in. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. This is a minute 40 of your life here. If I can find the chat one,
I don't want to watch this while we're recording. I'll watch it later.
Hopefully it's right after the recording so that you can laugh and then cry and then laugh some.
Well, wait, I don't want to spoil the end of this. Like, I want to watch the whole thing all the way through.
Well, it doesn't spoil the end. This is like after the end. This is like a coda of build.
I want to see it all in order. It's like with Deadly Premonition.
It's the extent of what I've done.
Okay, so you've been Legoing.
Yeah, well, not even a whole lot.
I think that's kind of a whole lot. Insane.
No. I'm good at this point.
I almost bought a Mega Bloks Halo set today because it was purple, but I didn't. The Banshee. I was like, put this back. I'll buy some more Cyberverses and whatnot. Anyway, I think that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you all for listening. If you'd like to leave us some voicemail, our Google Voice inbox is area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. Thank you, Aaron and Omegas, for joining me this evening. And welcome to the 190s of WTF at TFW. How do you guys feel? We're closing in on the next 3rd digit.
Yeah, that's going to be scary.
Yeah.
Three and a half years.
It's just weird. I started this thing before I was 25. And now I'm after 25. That's messed up. Go back to episode 1 and listen to categorically early 20s me.
Yeah, I actually put back in my queue a couple of those early episodes just to relive the glory days.
Those were not the glory days.
No, they weren't.
Quality-wise, those were not the glory days. Jeez. In terms of technical quality, I'm just going to say.
Everybody sounds like they're talking through a kazoo.
How about we try to keep episode 200 down to under an hour for old time's sake?
No, we could get an hour. It was like an hour and...
It was 66 minutes. That was the...
And 6 minutes, the limit. Yeah.
We could try that.
It's like what could go on one CD.
Yeah. Well, that was the old GarageBand limit.
Yeah.
And then GarageBand, thankfully, it's not a good piece of software ever. It's a decent freebie piece of software that makes you want to buy something else. But thankfully, you know, a little ways in, I got a new iLife. And that let my GarageBand go all the way up to like 4 or 5 hours. So that was the beginning of the end for the people who like to listen to things in one go.
Yeah.
Blame Apple. It's their fault. It's not my fault. It's a cool idea, though, having that 66-minute cutoff.
Make you edit hard.
Well, you know, that was before listener questions. That was before new pick picks.
Yeah.
Remember back when I'd list like just every single news item and then half of them would be like, so we got this news item about this thing. It's like, yeah. Like, yeah. Does anyone think anything about it? Nope.
No.
All right. Hey, new Happy Meal toys and cups. I like cups. Cool. Moving on. Anyway, we will talk to you again. This is Evangelist with WTFW. Tune in for Prime Time because it's happening again. So if you're watching Prime, we've got some on-the-ball Prime coverage. And everyone's wondering what the big conspiracy is as to why Omegas isn't on Prime Time of late. Humongous, shadowy conspiracy.
God, There's no conspiracy. All that happened.
Yeah, that's right. Just drag it. Okay, put him in the closet. Good. All right. Talk to you later, folks.
Bye.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.